Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. Absolutely huge weekend's worth of news to show you. We'll be talking about Tucker Carlson. We'll be talking about Mark Levin. We'll be talking about the war in Iran. As really, it's kind of funny. It's almost like Trump is desperately trying to make it a world war, and it's not working out for him. He is scrambling to try to find a solution to the Strait of Hormuz problem, and it's not working out for him, unfortunately, or fortunately. We don't really know. Everything's kind of up in the air at this point. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 16th of March, 2026. Trump eyes Hormuz coalition, seizure of Iran's Karg Island oil hub. President Trump is working to assemble a coalition of countries to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and hopes to announce it later this week, four sources tell Axios. Trump is also weighing a seizure of Iran's critical oil depot at Karg Island, a move that could would require U.S. boots on the ground if tankers remain bottled up in the Persian Gulf, U.S. officials say. Oil and gas prices are rising as Iran's blockade of the Gulf narrow strait drags on, choking off a significant share of the world's crude supply. They're blocking Gulf countries from exporting their oil while allowing tankers picking up Iranian crude to pass freely, keeping its own oil flowing to China and other countries. As long as the blockade holds and the Gulf oil is restricted, Trump could not end the war even if he wanted to, a source with the knowledge of the situation said. So, yes, we will be touching back on this again. What Iran has said is that they're basically allowing anybody to go through the Strait of Hormuz except for American ships, Israeli ships, and our allied ships, which would include the Gulf countries at this point. But other traffic is being allowed to pass through. Meanwhile, Trump is trying to get all of Europe and NATO involved in the conflict, specifically to open up the Strait of Hormuz, and they are all rejecting him outright. So we'll give you that list in just a second. Meanwhile, CIA prepares criminal referral of Tucker Carlson as Israel and its loyalists demand his arrest. That's the headline from Glenn Greenwald at greenwald.substack.com. On Friday morning, he says he taped a appearance on Tucker Carlson's program to discuss the ongoing Iran war, growing Israeli influence in the U.S., and proliferating attacks on free speech in the West in the name of shielding that one foreign country from critique. I presume it will air in the next few days. Perhaps the most notable part of our conversation was what Tucker told me prior to the cameras rolling. He said he learned from several highly placed sources, and he obviously has many within the Trump administration, that the CIA was preparing a criminal referral about him to the DOJ. The subject of the agency's report of suspected crimes, conversations he allegedly had with Iranian officials and others living in Iran prior to the start of the Trump-Netanyahu war. Again, we'll get into this during the first segment. I'll break it all down for you. But this is the culmination of a very long and public campaign by Israel first subversive elements here in the United States to try to get Tucker Carlson thrown in jail and or killed for his lukewarm support of the Israeli Jewish state. So, again, we'll get into it, but it's really a dangerously tyrannical thing they're attempting, and if they succeed, things are going to get really crazy really fast, so stay tuned. Trump's FCC chair has threatened to pull broadcast licenses over negative Iran war coverage in a move administration critics described as flagrantly unconstitutional. FCC Chair Brendan Carr wrote a post on social media on Saturday that appeared to threaten the broadcast license of any media outlet that reported information concerning President Trump's war on Iran other than or anything that the president did not like. Again, we'll bring you that in just a little bit. Meanwhile, Israel is launching a massive ground invasion of Lebanon, officials say. If it's anything like the previous attempts to invade Lebanon, it's not going to go well. And we'll explain why that is, first of all. The invasion itself is not going to go well, but that's the easy part. The hard part is holding the ground once you have it. Finally, one battle after another takes Best Picture at the Oscars. I feel like this was a surprise to everybody that the Oscars was last night. Isn't that surprising to learn? Isn't it crazy how far Hollywood has fallen? Isn't it insane how they've sacrificed their entire industry on the woke altar? It's insane.
have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, InfoWars.com, band.video. Thank you, Scott. Producers brought in a stack of paper titled Micropenis Levin. Yes, folks. That's where we're starting, and that's where political discourse is in America at this moment. I spent the first hour of the Alex Jones Show talking about the Iran-Israel conflict, and we'll get back into that. Obviously, it's still happening. It's still going on. Like, it's just the same as it was before, just worse, which itself is exactly what I keep saying. So we're in this cycle. No exit apparent so far anywhere in the future ever. So, and we'll bring you all the updates on that. But I do want to get into the cultural aspects of it. But a lot of people characterize the conversations going on, the arguments, the attacks happening as if it is, you know, a sideshow. It's a distraction. It's, just causing division in the right wing. It's not, though. I think it's actually central to everything going on. I think if you look at the drama between Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, Laura Loomer, Mark Levin, this isn't a sideshow. It's not, you know, just personalities beefing with each other and people finding it interesting and entertaining and sharing it for that reason. It represents a fundamental, struggle over the future of this country, specifically the future of the Republican Party. And whoever is the victor, I mean, it's going to have a big impact. If the Mark Levins and Laura Loomers of the world get their way, you think Tucker Carlson's the last journalist that they'll be framing for foreign interference to try to throw in jail for the rest of their lives? This is a struggle for the very existence of the United States. And yeah, it has to do with Megyn Kelly making fun of the size of Mark Levin's willy. That's just where we're at. Sorry, I wish it was more, I wish there was more gravitas to it. I wish it was more, I don't know, appropriate for the radio. But to be honest with you, this is how these things work. This is how it goes, folks. Read your history. You would be shocked at how the fate of the entire planet has often hinged on things like rumors about manhood size. It's actually not that far removed from other late stage empires in the world. I mean, you look at, you know, the rise of Caesar, or like, you know, the time of the Roman Republic right before it became an empire, before Julius Caesar took charge. I mean, some of the biggest scandals, there's one's the ceremony of the good goddess, and it all has to do with, you know, some wealthy pervert cross-dressing and trying to sneak into a women's only thing to get his rocks off. And this, you know, political scandal spirals out into a civil war that eventually creates the Roman Empire. Like, it's actually not that far removed from historical precedent. So the fact that we will be talking about things I'd rather not, it's just, you know, this is the way things happen. What are you going to say? What is there to say? So we'll start with Tucker. We'll start with Tucker, and then we'll move on to Micro Mark, they're calling him. Oh, Micro Mark. Yeah, we'll get into all of it. But I want to go to the video that Tucker put out over the weekend about the fact that he discovered the CIA has been reading his text messages. And again, what this represents and where this is coming from and where it's going. I'll play the whole clip here of Tucker Carlson, and then I'll bring you the reactions from the, you know, subversive elements in the so-called right wing, which it is crazy. I mean, you'll see. I'll go over it, but like, no joke, at least half the people who are calling for Tucker Carlson's head on a spike, essentially, who are pretending as if they are the bulwark of the right, stopping the right wing from going off the rails. At least half of them were Democrats this time last year. Were Democrats in October of 2024, a month before the election. So the whole thing is absurd. The idea that people who are wholly, completely, entirely dedicated to a foreign state, who are now trying to frame Tucker Carlson as if he is a traitor to America, as if he is working for foreign states, in the most pure example of projection I've ever seen. Here's Tucker Carlson announcing what's going on, and then I'll talk about the reactions and the lead up to it on the other side. Tucker Carlson saying the CIA has been reading his text in order to frame him as a traitor. Let's watch.
So the other day I found out that the CIA is preparing some kind of criminal referral against me, a crime report, to the Department of Justice on the basis of a supposed crime I committed. What's that crime? Well, talking to people in Iran before the war. They read my texts. So the crime under consideration apparently would be the Foreign Agent Act or something like that, acting as an agent of a foreign power. And I don't expect this to go anywhere. I'm not too worried about an actual criminal case against me for a bunch of reasons. One, I'm not an agent of a foreign power. Unlike a lot of people commenting on U.S. politics and global affairs, I have only one loyalty, and that's the United States, and have never acted against it. Its interests are the only interests I care about because I'm from here and I have a lot of kids. So that's not a concern. I've also never taken money from anybody. Don't need it, don't want it. And that's provable. And moreover, it's my job to talk to everybody all the time and try and figure out what's happening around the world. That's literally what I do for a living. And I'm not going to stop doing that. Nor should I don't think. I'm also an American. I can talk to anybody. I have no secrets to divulge. So legally, I think the case is ludicrous, and I doubt it will even become a case. I'm bringing this up for a couple of reasons, though, and they're pretty obvious. One is that countries tend to become more authoritarian in wartime. It's just the nature of war. People are dying. The stakes are high. People's emotions have risen to a very high point, to a crescendo. And so there's much less tolerance for any kind of dissent in the homeland. The irony, of course, is the United States fights wars on behalf of freedom, but there's always less of it here in our country during war. So that's a widely recognized phenomenon, and it's likely to happen now too. Another point to make that is worth knowing is that the USIC, the intelligence agency, spy on Americans. Now, you probably knew that, and it's been revealed a lot, including by Julian Assange and Ed Snowden, both of whom are threatened with death for revealing it, but everyone knows. But it's probably a little more widespread than most people understand, and it's outrageous. There's no justification for your government, which you own, you're a shareholder in it, you pay for it, to be violating your privacy like this. But it happens all the time. And in fact, one of the reasons that CIA or people within CIA, just to be clear, it's a huge, sprawling, disconnected agency. What it does in a specific case doesn't represent what everybody in the building thinks, but there are some people who are mad at me for my views about Israel. And they have some latitude. And one of the reasons they pass on criminal complaints, in effect, to law enforcement is to justify warrants for spying on Americans. So that is an absolutely real thing. But the main reason they do it is to leak the existence of the investigation, such as it is, to the media and then humiliate and terrify the subjects of this op. And that's, of course, happened to me repeatedly, many times, including in famously 2021 when I was still at Fox News and trying to set up an interview with Vladimir Putin. And the NSA, I heard from someone there, had grabbed my text messages with an American citizen and had leaked them to news outlets. Those texts were basically my attempts to set up an interview with the foreign head of state, and they leaked them to the New York Times in order to stop the interview, which they successfully did, by the way. And they admitted that they were spying. I mean, this is not a fantasy. It actually happened. They did it again 2 years later. My second attempt to get a Putin interview, I managed to get it anyway, and they've done it since. And so when you get a call from a reporter who knows the contents of your texts, it's pretty clear something's going on. None of this, in my judgment as of right now, is a huge threat to me. So I'm not making this video to complain about it or whine or ask you to send me money because I'm under attack. I'm saying it because it's true, and you should know what your own government is doing, and you should know what the stakes are. And you should know that a lot of what happens in this country that affects outcomes happens behind the scenes. Some of it is legal, some of it is not, including what I'm describing now. But it has an effect. And the intel agencies, again, not everyone in the intel agencies, because there are decent, hardworking Americans who work in the intel agencies are Americans, just like there are decent, hardworking Americans who work at the DMV. But there are also people with agendas and grudges and no sense of restraint who are happy to misuse the power they have granted them by our elaborate secrecy laws to hurt fellow Americans for ideological reasons. That is entirely real. That's the story of Russiagate. And it's likely that things like that will begin to happen at greater scale now. So you should just know that going forward. Thanks.
All right, so that was the full video from Tucker Carlson announcing this. Tucker Carlson claims CIA has been reading his text to frame him. And that's not particularly a surprise. But then the question is, you know, was this a like Russiagate style operation, similar as we saw with Operation Arctic Frost, where they're simply, you know, trying to read his information to leak the existence of the investigation to embarrass him in the media? I think it's deeper than that. I think, and I don't know, I mean, that whole video, his attitude is very sort of blasé, sort of relaxed, sort of like, yeah, this is fine for me, but you should be concerned that your government is doing this. And that may be a strategy he's pursuing, but I hope he is taking it seriously, because these people are playing for keeps. Like, they're very serious, and they don't have so many options available. After all, this is one of the reasons why I thought it was valid to speculate, and still is, and speculation is maybe not so much what people are doing anymore, about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Because while he had not turned against Israel, he was going in that direction. And once you turn, it's kind of not a good idea for them to do anything. So Tucker Carlson has turned fully. They can't just kill him. Boy, they want to. Yeah, they're like literally actually calling for it. Loomer is being like, what's the punishment for treason, Tucker? It's like, okay, we get it. You want him dead. We understand. He mildly disagrees with you about the genocide Israel's carrying out. Therefore, he deserves death. We understand how the thinking operates. We get it. It's not that, I don't know. It's I don't know if people think they're being clever or something. But we understand they're desperate to kill Tucker Carlson by any means. But that's not going to work, because everybody would know it was Israel, and it would just make everybody hate them even more, which, again, seems impossible, but I think we could do it if we really tried. So they're trying to destroy his reputation. They're trying to destroy him first and then kill him once they've thoroughly discredited him in the eyes of Americans. And again, they are proud of this. They're bragging about this. This is from Laura Loomer. She actually says that she reported Tucker Carlson to the DOJ with hopes of sending him to prison. Now, Laura Loomer is, of course, a total Israeli agent. And I'm not saying I have proof that she, you know, is a Mossad agent. I'm just saying her entire existence is dedicated completely to the service of a foreign state. So again, it's funny. She's like, if I was a foreign agent, it's like, Oh, if you were Loomer? If I was a foreign agent and doing something I shouldn't be doing, I too would come up with an elaborate story about how the CIA was out to get me. Tucker sounds like somebody who's about to be exposed for doing something they knew they shouldn't be doing. For months, I've been calling for Tucker Carlson to be investigated for alleged FARA violations. If he's going to be charged, that is fantastic news. I hope Tucker is jailed. I really do. Again, she has no evidence that Tucker Carlson has ever violated any law, FARA or any other one. She has no evidence. If she had evidence, that's what she would have said. She didn't say she had evidence. She said, I have been calling for him to be investigated for alleged violations. In other words, they have no evidence. They have nothing but allegations that they themselves are making. But they should be investigated because, you know, they, the people that hate Tucker Carlson accused him of something he didn't do. So therefore, he should be investigated. She didn't have any evidence. So I don't think the CIA has any evidence. But I think it was just the persistent annoyance of Laura Loomer that actually got this moved forward. She says, if Tucker Carlson gets charged with violating FARA and or leaking information to Russia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, or Qatar, I'm taking credit. Islamic sympathizers always project onto others what they are likely guilty of. It's like, my God, they are now projecting projection. That's where we're at, folks. The projectors, the foreign agents constantly accusing everybody else of being foreign agents, the hateful psychos constantly accusing everybody else of wanting to kill them, wanting to genocide them for merely disagreeing. The projectionists in chief are now projecting their own projection. We are now in a projection fugue state in which the projections are projecting themselves onto other projections. And at the end of the day, it's a tangled web you weave when you practice to deceive. You have no idea how relentless I have been. No, I have an idea. I have a very moderate idea of just how relentless you have been. You know, you don't have to be relentless if something is true. Like if you go to the police station and say, you know, I was robbed, and you have a black eye and you have like security camera footage of somebody mugging you, punching you in the face and taking your stuff. That's all you have to do. You don't have to insist. You don't have to be persistent. You don't have to be relentless. You just go, hey, this is a crime. And then the people whose job it is to fight crime go, oh, wow, thank you for that. Thank you. That's all. That's all we need from you. We'll take it from here. Thank you. When you're relentless, that means you're having to like push somebody to do something they don't want to do. You're having to continually pester and bother and annoy and pressure and coerce, and until finally somebody goes, if it will shut her up, just say we're doing it. Just tell her that we're going after Tucker. Tell her, oh, yeah, you're right. Wow, yeah, he's a total Qatari agent. You're right, Laura. Thank you for bringing us to this every hour of every day for the last 2 months. We get it. You hate Tucker Carlson. You want him to die because he has some very reasonable and fact-based criticisms of the genocidal psychopath state of Israel. We get it. We understand. It's not any more complicated than that. Tucker Carlson's never taken money. Laura Loomer knows he's never. Let me say, Laura Loomer has no reason to believe that he's ever taken money. She doesn't have receipts of his. She would have turned that in. She has no evidence. She would have presented that or at least referenced it. She didn't even reference it. All she said is that there are allegations and she's the one making the allegations. Okay? Just like, Can we be clear about what's going on here? You have no idea how relentless I have been in speaking to GOP reps and even reporting Tucker to law enforcement and the DOJ. Okay, but like, all right. It's like that is a crime, right? You can't just call the cops on somebody that you don't like. It's not how it's supposed to work. It's called swatting. It's like actually illegal. If you have evidence of a crime, you can submit evidence of a crime. If you're just demanding that they investigate somebody you don't like over and over, if you are reporting him to the police, reporting him to the law enforcement, even though it's just because you don't like him, like that's a crime. But it doesn't matter. She's never going to be punished for anything because she's a part of the cabal that runs the White House. It's crazy. Ayatollah Tucker. Hilarious. And it's beyond that. He's dressed up like an Ayatollah. Wow, amazing. I'm convinced. Again, Tucker Carlson drives them crazy because he is very reasonable, very intelligent, was literally the top news broadcaster for conservatives. Well, the top news broadcaster, period, but a true like hero and icon of the conservative movement, literally for decades. And still to this day, his criticisms are still extremely reasonable and extremely moderate. But it doesn't matter. But like, you have to understand, that's the point. That's the point, is to send the message that even polite disagreement will not be tolerated, that even well-informed objection to what Israel is doing will be considered hate, will be considered treason in this bizarre merger of countries that we are experiencing, where just like everybody who runs America is just openly an avowed subject of Israel. So again, if there was any like consistency with any of this, every single one of these people, like Laura Loomer and Mark Levin, they would all be in prison. They are all Israeli agents. They all work entirely for Israel and for Israel's interests exclusively, and often to the detriment of American considerations. So they should all be in prison as far as I'm concerned. But we are in topsy-turvy, upside-down world where all the Israelis that run American the American government are furious at the prospect of foreign intervention. Oh, they're very mad. I mean, sure, the person negotiating with Iran for us, Jared Kushner, who isn't even a part of the government, is at the same time making billions of dollars with the very countries that they're accusing Tucker Carlson of collaborating with, like Qatar, UAE, and others. But that's fine. But that's fine because that's Jared Kushner. I'll leave it up to you if you can possibly surmise why his condition might be different than somebody like Tucker Carlson. But Laura Loomer goes farther. She says, I've created a list of conservative influencers who I believe are taking money from Iran, Russia, and Qatar. I've attached my supporting evidence. As I told the DOJ, Tucker Carlson isn't the only person who's likely violating FARA. All of these traitors deserve jail time. There's something about this mix of being a snitch, rat, tattletale, scumbag person, and yet the condescension and yet the self-importance is there. I mean, really, she's got the Dolores Umbridge energy down perfectly. The smiling, condescending, sickly sweet evil that seems almost scientifically designed to make me angry. It's really almost impressive. And a lot of people now are coming around to what we've understood the entire time, which is that this is deliberate. It is absolutely deliberate, 100%. The way that they're acting now is on purpose and by design, because they have captured the levers of power, and they will be using those levers of power to create anti-Semitism laws. They're trying to maximize anti-Semitism because that is a currency in which they deal. Okay? So I don't believe that they are just like unknowingly, unwittingly this despicable and hateful and annoying and off-putting. Okay? I mean, they know how to present themselves. They know what this looks like. They're doing it on purpose to try to get the backlash that they can then weaponize to create total tyranny with them as a absolutely protected class, in which criticizing or even merely disagreeing with them will be considered illegal. We are absolutely going down that road, and they're pushing forward with everything they've got. I think they're a little too far out over their skis. I think that they are making a gigantic mistake. And like always, it's going to go badly for them. It keeps going badly for them, and they keep doubling down, and they're doing it again. More on the other side.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customer 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Again, we'll get into Iran. We'll get into the just absolute catastrophe. It remains, you know, it was from the beginning and continues to be. Only it's getting worse. It is getting a little bit worse, I think, personally. At this point, the American media has resorted to calling the new supreme leader of Iran gay. That's our tactic now, I think, apparently. Apparently the man... With wife and children that were brutally murdered by the U.S., by the way, in that bombing attack that killed his father as well. I know he's apparently gay, is what we're hearing. So I think that tells you where we are in the war when your mainstream media newspapers are calling the Supreme Leader gay. I think we've all lost. But again, the stuff happening with Mark Levin and Tucker Carlson, this isn't a sideshow. This is central to the entire conflict. I mean, again, it's exhausting having to talk about this over and over forever. I mean, since mid-2024, this was kind of obvious the way this was going. And we just keep saying it over and over. Yeah, Trump briefed that Iran's new supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei, is probably gay. So, okay. Okay. Well, Zelensky's definitely gay. Are we going to, can we report on that? I mean, there's a lot of, there's the, okay. All right. It's fine. First Lady of France is a man. I mean, you know, these things happen. But no, this is central to the entire situation. I mean, why are we in war with Iran? Because of the Israeli influence in our country. Why was Jeffrey Epstein allowed to openly operate a global mafia? Because his agents control our country. It's just, it's all wrapped up together. And Tucker Carlson is sort of the best example of what we're talking about. He's not hateful. He's not an anti-Semite. And yet the bloodlust that Israelis have for Tucker Carlson is unmatched, truly. And then it gets even weirder. Then it gets even more bizarre and difficult to wrap your head around, because it was all apparently a setup. Apparently all of the Israeli agents swarming around our White House like locusts, they're gleefully admitting that this was all a giant trick to imprison Tucker Carlson. And I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because we have seen this exact thing before, in the way that James Comey bragged about tricking General Flynn. If you remember, James Comey talked about how they arrested General Flynn and essentially were like, yeah, he came into the White House and he didn't realize the way things work. And so we just gave him a call and said, hey, we want to come talk to you, you know, get you, help you get you settled in. And the whole time it was a giant scheme. It was a giant operation to trick General Flynn into accidentally lying to a federal agent so then they could arrest him or charge him with something. But it's like, put yourself in the place of General Flynn. You're coming in. You've just been appointed by the president to do something. You're like, all right, let's get it done. You're doing your best. Here's the head of the FBI going, hey, we want to help you out. Can we, come meet with you for a little bit? You're like, yeah, of course. This is great. I knew you guys weren't as bad as they say. And the whole time, it's just a giant scheme relying on his, you know, ignorance, his good nature, his assumption that other members of the United States government wouldn't be clandestinely working against him and the president to, you know, convict him, to frame him for a crime. It's kind of exactly the same thing as that they're saying was done to Tucker Carlson. I don't really even believe that's the case. I think a lot of this is hot air and chutzpah, and that's always a possibility, right? I mean, think about the fact that when Alex Jones went after Candace Owens a couple months ago, that was totally on his own volition. It was totally just he saw something that he didn't like and he wanted to call it out. And the next day, Laura Loomer is going, thank you, Alex, for doing what I asked you to do and going after Candace Owens. Remember, we said at the time, that's bullcrap. She's trying to take credit because she's trying to drive a wedge between her enemies, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones, who would be a very powerful ally for her enemies. So she wants to drive a wedge between her enemies by claiming that she's the one that is pulling the strings for Alex Jones. I know it's not, like, I know 100% that's not what happened here. And so I can only imagine that there's some element of self-importance puffing themselves up when it comes to, yeah, I was the one that turned this in to the president. Although, again, why you would even brag about that is weird, because if it was legitimate, then, like, it would be better if the CIA just came upon this conclusion themselves, right? It would be better if you're sitting there going, hey, I think this Tucker Carlson guy is an agent, and then totally independent of you, the CIA comes out and says, we have discovered Tucker Carlson is an agent. You could say, yeah, see, I knew that he was, but it wasn't me that said it. The CIA is saying it. So now you have two sources of information. That's not the case. No, you hate Tucker Carlson because he is not a slobbering slave of Israel. And so you're just coming up with bullshit to try to throw him in prison over. You shouldn't announce that. Like, you shouldn't say that. This is advice for Laura. And Shabbos Kestenbaum, who, by the way, is still a Democrat. That's just crazy. Shabbos Kestenbaum, who, again, I cannot figure out why anybody knows this guy's name. He's never achieved anything. He's never done anything worth noting. He's literally a Democrat operative that for some reason was invited to speak at the RNC stage and apparently has close contacts inside the Trump White House and is you know, helping to pull the strings there. I don't know. Jewish privilege, I think we can call it in a word. On January 17th, he says, I called a friend of mine at the White House to express concerns about Tucker Carlson visiting the Oval Office. She answered rather cryptically, just trust the plan. Little did I know, the plan meant we know Tucker Carlson is speaking to the Iranians, so we're using him as a useful idiot to bait the Ayatollah and kill off the IRGC leadership. Oh, and then we'll arrest him for espionage when this is over. Trump remains undefeated! All right, so a couple things about this. For one, I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. It's a thing with people like this. They love pretending that they have friends in places that are helping to carry out secret operations. I don't know what it is. I literally have had this in my own life. I remember like shortly after I started working at InfoWars, I was having a conversation with a guy at a wedding. He was telling me the same thing. You know, I have friends in the CIA and Trump is a Russian agent. He's going to go down. I remember like smoking a cigarette, just being like, nah, that's not happening, dude. You're full of crap. They are. They're all full of crap. So, okay. Do you like, is it not obvious to everybody what the irony is here? Either Shavos Kestenbaum is a flagrant liar who's absolutely making all of this up, or he just admitted to doing the thing that he's claiming Tucker's doing. Again, it's like, are they this stupid? Is Shavos Kestenbaum really this dumb? I mean, this tweet is still up. Let me read it again. Little did I know, the plan meant we know Tucker is speaking to the Iranians, so we're using him as a useful idiot to bait the Ayatollah and kill off the IRGC leadership. I guess that's him saying that that was, okay, he's saying that's what the plan meant. They didn't actually tell him that. I don't know, though. I don't know. If he's talking to people in the White House that are, like, hinting things, I think maybe he needs to be investigated. I mean, are we sure that they're not sharing classified intel with Shavos? Because Tucker Carlson doesn't have access to classified information. How would he share classified information to the Iranians? What classified information is he privy to? It doesn't even make sense. How is just like an American citizen and journalist talking to Iran when we were not at war with them, when we were still negotiating with them? He's a private citizen. What could he tell Iran that would be illegal to tell them? What information does he have that is secret and classified? He doesn't have, as far as I know, he doesn't have classified clearance. He was a journalist for Fox News. He was never in an intelligence agency, right? From Brave Report. So you called a friend of the White House who casually told you about an active intelligence operation involving Iran and an espionage setup, and your first move was to post it on X. Either this is completely made up or the most reckless leak imaginable. If this were real, posting it publicly would blow an active intelligence operation, which means it's almost certainly not real. But again, Shavos Kestenbaum is a Democrat. He's not even a Republican. He's never been a Republican. He is not to this day a Republican. But apparently, you know, he is a part of whatever faction is currently running the White House as we speak. The faction that includes Laura Loomer. And it gets even worse, believe it or not. Because I don't know. I don't understand how their brains work, honestly. I really don't. This is from a guy named Dandolph. Dan Talks One on X. And he's talking about Tucker Carlson. He says, I know you think you're smart, but everyone knew you were a foreign asset and you were used as a counterintelligence asset. As I described in my article on the war, Tucker was the Iranian spy. You got used as a counter-intel asset to convince them nothing was happening. You got used to kill the Iranian leadership. You personally were one of the key reasons they believed nothing was going to happen, which gave them the confidence to convene a meeting in their entire high command. You did your job well, being a traitor. Imagine thinking you'd get a primetime slot with the president on the eve of a war after repeatedly humiliating him and calling you a retard multiple times publicly. You're as arrogant as you are stupid. But now your usefulness has ended and it's time to go. Good luck, my guy. You're going to need it. Thanks for helping us kill all your friends, though. You did great work. See, I don't know anything about the person that wrote this, but I can tell that they're evil. You can tell right off the bat, like, this is a very sick in the head person. And am I weird for having that thought? Because once again, Tucker Carlson, as far as I know, he didn't have any classified information. Now, so again, so the story is essentially that Tucker Carlson got invited by Trump to the White House, where Trump gave him misinformation that he then related to the Iranians, saying, no, I'm not going to bomb the Iranians. That's not happening anytime soon. And he ran off to tell the Iranians that. They believed him. They thought he had good sources. So they were lulled into a false sense of security. It's like, all right, let's really play this out and think about this. Tucker Carlson is not an intelligence agent. He does not have classified security. So a classified clearance. So anybody telling him classified things, they're the ones breaking their oath. They're the ones breaking the law about classified information. It's not legal to hear something somebody else said. Now, again, if he was like sworn to secrecy about it, again, I don't even know how that would work. But it sounds like what happened was, yes, he was used unwittingly as somebody who genuinely wanted peace, as somebody who thought he was working towards rapprochement and avoiding the catastrophe that we are now in. And he may very well have been told by Trump, hey, the Iranians have nothing to worry about. I'm not going to do anything to them. You should go tell them that. You talk to them, right? Because, of course, they know. Everybody knows. I mean, I knew Tucker Carlson was talking to the Iranians. You don't think everybody else did? Like, it was not a secret. He talks about it. He does videos where he's like, here's what I said to the Iranians. Here's what they said to me. I'm a journalist reporting to you what the government said, the government of Iran. So it's not like it was a secret. It's not like he was like clandestinely passing information to the Iranians and they caught him in that. He's a journalist. He was openly communicating with the Iranians in order to try to do his job as a journalist. That's obvious. Other people are saying like, oh, the Huckabee thing, that was a trick, because then they could get Tucker to go to Israel and they could get his phone in the airport to scan his phone and get his text messages. And it's like, okay, they don't need to get his physical phone to get his text messages. Obviously, they have the Pegasus software from Israel that can get into all of that. Two, Mossad can investigate him at any time. There's no restrictions for a foreign government, you know, spying on American citizens, and then they can share that information with the American government with, you know, absolutely no restrictions, even though it would be illegal for the American government to spy. It's the same thing they did to Trump with Russiagate through MI5, got them to spy in the other Five Eye countries to provide the information that it's illegal for America to gather. Three, the Huckabee interview was a embarrassing disaster by all accounts and in all possible regards. So it sounds to me like this was an attempt to go, oh, you thought we were absolutely humiliated and devastated and made to look like bumbling fools because of the Huckabee interview? Actually, it was a trick the whole time and you fell for it. It's like, okay, sure, I bet you're super clever and totally ahead of us on everything, I'm sure. So again, I don't believe any of that, but there's just something about this, like, you thought you were helping to bring about peace, but little did you know we were using you to kill everyone and start World War III, idiot. And it's like, yeah, you're the bad guys. No, you're absolutely the bad guys. What would be the crime with Tucker Carlson relaying the message that the president of the United States probably told him to relay? Hey, you talk to the Iranians, right? You can tell them there's nothing to worry about. I'm not going to bomb them anytime soon. And then he does. If he was not instructed to do that, again, what would even be the, what is the crime being committed here? We weren't at war with Iran. We still to this day are not technically at war with Iran, I don't think. I mean, I don't think there's been a declaration of war yet. So again, there's just this, like, Laura Loomer is just making things up about him being a foreign agent. She's bothering the DOJ or whoever until they come out with it. And then, I mean, the whole thing gets confusing because the fact that the CIA would announce this, like, that doesn't make any sense. They either file the charges or they don't. The fact that Tucker Carlson's dad was, like, head of the CIA or at least very important in the CIA, that throws a whole wrench in this whole thing. The whole thing is confusing. But there's two aspects of this I want to highlight. One is from Congressman Big Fat Randy Fine. And he says this, sounds like Tucker Carlson is learning this the hard way, quote, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curse you, I will curse. Genesis 12:3. See, this is another bizarre mindset that I can't understand. Big Fat Randy Fine, do you think it was God that did this to Tucker Carlson? Are you suggesting that somehow this was miraculous? that this was a curse from God. So what you mean is that, like, you could just say Jews. Like, instead of God, just say, maybe just say Jews. That's what it sounds like. So it sounds like to me. It sounds like you didn't bless the Jews. You didn't bless Israel and the Jewish state. Therefore, they will curse you. They will use the power that they have, like Laura Loomer and the connections she has with the DOJ, or Shabbos Kestenbaum. They'll use the connections he has at the White House. You know, they'll all use all of their connections. Mark Levin will use his connections. They'll all use whatever power they've accrued to themselves to try to destroy Tucker Carlson. And then they'll turn around and say, God did this. This was God. See, yet another fulfillment of the prophecy. Yeah, I don't think that's, no, that's you. That's you guys. That's not God. That's just you. I think that's like, just understand what they mean when they say that God will curse you. It's just a threat. It's just a straight up threat from them to you. If you don't support Israel, God will curse you. God will make me file a report about you to the people I know in the DOJ to get you investigated for crimes I made up. God works in mysterious ways, folks. Now let's go to clip 25 here, because this is really the bad guys telling on themselves. This is a dispatch directly from the enemy. His name is David Azarad, and he's talking about Tucker Carlson, and he uses the word retard right. I don't think it's going to catch on. They've tried woke right. They tried woke Reich. They've tried a couple other things. It's not working. So now they're going with retard right, which is very funny to me. Very funny. Let's go to clip 25 here, saying the retard right doesn't operate in facts, which is why you don't have to try to argue with them. I'll explain his thinking as we go. Let's watch.
What we are calling the retard right podcast, the stand, what you name it, I think is inevitable. The race for clicks, the titillation of transgression. I want a free internet.
Yeah, let's pause it right there. Let's go ahead and pause it right there. So you'll see he starts off with the classic, the tried and true strategy. I've come up with a term for it. I'm just calling it motivation projection. That's what I'm going to call it. Or ulterior motivation projection. In other words, they have to project onto you that you're doing this for clicks. You're doing this for some sort of ulterior reason. It's not that you just believe the things you're saying. It's not that the things being done are insane and you just get clicks by talking about it. No, no. It's got to be that you are engaged in dishonesty because you're just desperate for clicks and attention. Just lay it out here from the beginning, how he's poisoning. That's called poisoning the well. Okay. I know it's an anti-Semitic trope, but that is what he's doing. Let's go back to the enemy.
It is inevitable that that'll happen, that there's going to be a contingency of people who are going to go down that rabbit hole for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's transgressive. And, you know, transgression used to come from the left where they would burn the American flag or, you know, you remember Piss Christ in the 80s or 90s. Today, the transgression comes from the right because the pieties are all on the left. Like, he wanted to do something really
transgressive. Yeah, let's pause it right there. Yeah, so again, he's saying that, you know, we don't actually believe anything we're saying. It's just about being transgressive. You just want to be transgressive. The man saying this, by the way, introduced this by calling Tucker Carlson the retard right. Clearly doing exactly what he's accusing everybody else of doing. Oh, you're being transgressive. Oh, wow, you're so edgy. Again, everything, every accusation is projection. It's all pure 100% projection. So let's go back to the guy trying to be titillating, trying to be edgy by calling us the retard right, as he claims that we're the ones trying to be edgy and titillating. Let's go.
Do a piss Floyd at a museum. See if the NEA will fund it. There's also the pleasure of thinking that you're in the know. That, hey, here's what they don't want you to know. I know. You guys who watch Fox News, you don't know. And then there's the fact that it just
Okay, so again, he hasn't addressed any points. He hasn't addressed any arguments. All he's done so far is poison the well and try to claim that anything that we might say is either because we're just trying to get clicks and try to get attention, or that we're just trying to be transgressive and just want to be edgy for edginess sake. Again, absurd. Or whatever the last thing he said was. I don't remember. I have a hard time taking him seriously. I want to finish this out. Sorry. Let's go back to the scumbag idiot,
absolves you of blame, right? Why is America in such a mess today? It's not our fault. It's their fault.
It is their fault.
And what they end up settling on, part of them, is the reason the American Republic is collapsing is because of the American Empire. And the reason we have an empire is because of the Jews, who control American foreign policy, trick our politicians or buy them off with AIPAC into fighting their wars.
Yes.
And then they either were jubilating on 9/11 or they had advanced knowledge but kept it from us because it would be in their interest if we went to war in the Middle East.
Not or, it's both. So both of those are true.
In their minds is, you point the finger at the Israelis and then, to get to your point, Rich, you just rewrite history accordingly. So yeah, I mean, they've never said no to the Israelis, right? This is why Jerusalem has been recognized as the capital of Israel.
Let's pause right there. Being controlled by someone doesn't mean you never say no. Again, this doesn't prove anything, right? Did Israel send us to war? Well, according to Marco Rubio and Donald Trump repeatedly, and everybody paying attention for the last 30 years of Israel desperately trying to get us into war with Iran. Yeah, that was for Israel, according to literally everybody who made the decision to get us into war. So somehow he thinks that that claim that I just made is discredited by the fact that Jerusalem wasn't the, where the embassy was. It's like, that doesn't prove anything one way or the other. What the hell are you talking about? Let's go back, but just want to lay it down there. Has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Yes. Again, it's just always this, like, you take it to the most extreme and you say, but that's not true. Therefore, none of it's true. No, everything we're saying is true. You're saying something that we're not saying and then just proving that. Okay. Great straw man. Nobody ever said, you know, America does absolutely everything Israel wants the moment it wants it. It's just, you know, we're getting there. We're getting to that stage, but we haven't been that way forever. Let's keep watching.
The Iran deal was sank by AIPAC. Of course, like, it's ridiculous. They say no to Israel all the time, but I'll say this. That part of the retarder right is impervious to arguments. I think we should still make arguments because there are people who are on the fence who don't know much history, but you are not going to convince Tucker Carlson. I think what you need to do is humiliate him.
And that there it is. And there it is. You can't beat him, so you have to humiliate him. In other words, you can't actually argue with him. He keeps winning. So you have to try to manufacture social contagion to force everybody else to drop him.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I just want to play the last 30 seconds of that last video. This is from David Azarad. This is at the National Review Conservative Conference, right? But he really sort of lets cat out of the bag on this one. Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to say it this blatantly. I also do think it's telling that you've got this guy talking about, you know, America and how to run our country and all this crap. And he's like, and by the way, I'm just learning English. Sorry if I don't know the right words. Like, yeah, okay. So this is a foreigner. He doesn't care about America. He doesn't even speak English, apparently. But he's going to tell us what America's about. He's going to tell us who we have to support. I mean, this is the absurdity of all of this. But let's go back. Just listen to the last 30 seconds. This is it. This is the truth. Like, he's telling the truth here. They can't beat Tucker Carlson in a debate. Now, they say it's because his side is impervious to facts. It's like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. I mean, if there's one side that's impervious to facts, it's a side that still thinks there are 40 babies in ovens in, Israel that thinks that, I mean, just the list could go on. They are literally impervious to facts. Here's David Azarad talking about the retard right and how some reason, I assume smart, intelligent right that he puts himself in, they can't beat the retards in arguments. Isn't that weird? Let's watch.
But you are not going to convince Tucker Carlson. I think what you need to do is humiliate him. That is, I don't know if the Babylon Bee guys are here. That is very powerful, is mockery. There should be arguments, but there also has to be mockery. Like what you did with Nick Fuentes. Like, he's a gay little Mexican who's never kissed a girl. That needs to be said more on the internet. You're not going to say, well, actually, JFK was not assassinated by the Mossad. They're not dealing in the realm of facts. If I may adapt a line from Ben Shapiro, their feelings don't care about your facts.
And how's that working out for you? And how's that going? Oh, Nick Fuentes will never recover. I mean, I get it. I get that you've got bots and people pay that anytime anybody mentions Nick Fuentes, you call him a gay little Mexican. You've been doing it for years. How's that going? How's that working out for you? Is it working? Is it going well? Has he gone away? Has he been humiliated? Or is the humiliating thing how desperate you people are and how you actually don't have arguments to make? What would be the argument that JFK wasn't killed by Mossad? We can have that argument. I'd love to have that argument. You think he wants to have that argument? Which side wants to argue about this stuff? Which side wants to talk about this stuff? And which side is reporting Tucker Carlson to the CIA? Which side wants to actually have these conversations and look at the facts and have the difficult decisions being made? And which side is the side that is entirely propped up by a fake establishment that silences anybody that disagrees with them? I mean, this whole thing is just ridiculous. It really is. And you've got this guy who doesn't even speak English telling us who we need to allow in our movement. You've got Laura Loomer, who is solely dedicated to her own people and the Israeli state. You've got Shabbos Kestenbaum trying to gatekeep for the right. The man is still, to this day, a registered Democrat. What the hell are we talking about? This whole thing is just batshit insane. And Tucker Carlson, the maverick of the right, the icon of conservatism, he's the bad guy. He's the one that we should all be watching out for. He's the one that needs to be humiliated. No, that's an admission of defeat. That's an admission that you can't, despite controlling all of the media, despite having the White House in your pocket, despite all of this stuff, he's still winning because he has the truth on his side and because he's sincere and everybody recognizes that. And so you can't defeat him in the realm of information. You can't defeat him in the realm of facts. Your only hope is to try to humiliate him. And that's not working because nobody likes or trusts you. And you are the humiliating and embarrassing ones. What are you going to humiliate Tucker Carlson about? His laugh is kind of silly. I think he knows. Okay, that's not going to work. Because while you might be trying to make him seem humiliated and embarrassed, he does a pretty good job of making you people seem like absolute psychopath, evil, and dangerous. So, I'm gonna stay with the silly guy who's trustworthy and good and be against the not silly psychopaths.
Harrison. Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There's a congressman down in Florida representing the space coastline. He tweets all day about bombs away and standing without eyes so fine. And there's a guy whose name is Randy. He's a fine guy.
Great, you guys. His the crew just threw this together. It's fantastic. Big fat Randy Fine got his own theme song now. What a fat idiot, traitor, scumbag. All right. We got a lot still to talk about. I'm going to be joined in studio by Rex Jones in the next segment. So we'll do the second half of the show with Rex here. We'll probably take calls a little bit as well. I'm going to save Mark Levin for Rex. I have a feeling he's going to want to talk about that. I know he's going to want to talk about it because he was literally texting me last night. Dude, did you see Mark Levin? I'm like, yes, we will talk about it. So let's talk about the Strait of Hormuz, I guess. I mean, I don't even know what there is to say. It's like, once again, I don't know, man. It's like something happens. I do a show like the next day, and then we just like play that show on repeat for the next 2 years. It's exhausting, but it's just like none of this stuff is hard to figure out. It's all just like imminently there for you to seize onto. And then we just have to watch it play out. And then we just sit back and we just watch as it comes to fruition. It's so frustrating. Again, October 9th, 2023, Chase Geyser and I sat there and laid out exactly how what was happening would lead to World War III, how it would end with Iran being attacked, how Israel would suffer under. I mean, it's just, we just laid it out perfectly because it was obvious, because it's the only way things could possibly go. Iran is the same way. It's like, shouldn't start a war with them. They're going to be able to close the Strait of Hormuz. We don't have any way of opening the Strait of Hormuz. They have all these ballistic missiles. They're going to be able to do significant damage to all of our bases. Like, you're telling me the Pentagon planners didn't know about any of this? It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's absurd. And frankly, it is like humiliating for the United States. Nobody is helping us. Nobody wants to help us. And nobody really needs to help us. Like, they can just work with Iran. We're being boxed out of the Middle East. It's pretty crazy. It really is. Trump knew the risk of blocking the Strait of Hormuz. He still went to war. And I'm telling you, some of the statements he made today, we'll go to some of these statements he was asked about the war today. And you would think, I mean, we're like 3 weeks in almost. Like, this is the third week. Last Friday was, or last Saturday, midnight around that time was like the 2 week. So we're now like over 2 weeks into the third week of this war. You would think this would be enough time for them to solidify messaging and like get their act together. They're not, though. So the only question is like, okay, are they actually just completely out of their depth. Like, are we in danger right now? Because really, it really is just like they have no way out of this. They have no off ramp. Okay, is that the situation? Because that's sort of how it seems at this point. It's just like, it's so bad they can't even pretend. They can't even put a good face on it. You would think after 3 weeks, they'd be able to come out and go, here's what we hit today. Here's what we hit tomorrow. Here's what we're doing the day after that. They don't have anything. They have nothing. And what they're saying is just like, it not only is doubling down on the things that were said early on in the conflict that were then reversed. You'll see what I mean. I mean, they're all over the place. And I think at the end of the day, it's just, again, the worst decision anybody's ever made to go to war with Iran. And Trump explains a little bit why he chose to go to war with Iran, only his explanation doesn't really help. It actually only kind of obfuscates everything. Let's go to clip, let's go to clip 28 here. This is a reporter talking to Trump, asking about the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, which is starting, and they've just called in 450,000 reservists to try to basically ethnically cleanse 10% of Lebanon, 200,000 people who are forced to evacuate their homes because Israel put leaflets saying, please leave your home, we're about to bomb you. Now, then those people left, then they bombed them on the beach, and now they're saying, actually, you can never go back home. Thank you for leaving. You can never go back. It's ours now. Again, just totally, totally brutal. I'll bring you some more stuff about Lebanon here in just a second. But clip 28 here, here's a reporter asking Trump about the invasion of Lebanon by Israel.
Israel is expected to expand its ground offensive in southern Lebanon to go after Hezbollah. Have you discussed that with Israeli leaders?
Yeah.
And does the United States support a potential Israeli invasion of Lebanon?
Yeah, no, I did. And I know, look, Hezbollah is a problem. It's been a problem for a long time, not just now. And it's a certain area, because I was with the other night a person whose parents live in Lebanon. This is a very substantial person, wealthy person, whose parents live in Lebanon. I said, really? How do you live in Lebanon? Your parents are living? Oh, yeah, they live there. And over the years, they've gotten used to the fact that it's being bombed. But they explained to me that it's really a different section of Lebanon. It's the section where Hezbollah is. And they get used to it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, people live in Ukraine. You would think they wouldn't live in Ukraine, but they live in Ukraine. I don't know that I'd do that, but they live in Ukraine. They live in Lebanon. Hezbollah is a big problem, and they're rapidly being eliminated. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't even know what to make. I don't even know what to make of that. It's like, yeah, dude, they live in Lebanon. What are you talking about? Like, I guess they live there. I guess they like the bombs. I guess they like being bombed. I don't know what to tell you. I don't like being bombed. They like it. They enjoy being bombed. They wouldn't live where Israel's bombing them if they didn't like it, right? What the hell are you talking about? Did I mishear that? He's literally, when he's asked about Israel attacking Lebanon, his answer is, I don't know why people live in Lebanon. Let me just run that by you again. When asked about Israel bombing the crap out of Lebanon, Trump's response is to question why people live in Lebanon. What the hell are you talking about, Trump? They live there. It's their home. They've been there for 5,000 years. And like, kind of, it's kind of telling. He's like, I wouldn't live there. It's like, yeah, I guess not. I guess if push came to shove, you would just leave. I guess it wouldn't be good for you to stay and fight for your people who don't have the chance to leave. I guess you would abandon them. Good point, Trump. I'm just like flabbergasted. I'm shocked at that answer. What do you think about Israel attacking Lebanon? And his answer is like, Lebanon likes being bombed. What can I say? They love being bombed. Israel's got to do what they want, what Lebanon wants. They say, bomb me, Israel. Bomb us more. You haven't bombed us in too long. I don't know. I don't get it. I wouldn't ask to be bombed. Okay, dude. Okay. What the hell are you talking about? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Say what you want about Iran. Lebanon's not chanting death to America. Lebanon is a multi-faith republic. A third of Lebanon is Christian. There are 150 small towns in the area that Israel is ethnic cleansing, and a huge portion of them are 100% Christian. They're Christian villages being attacked and eliminated. They don't have Hezbollah. Again, it's just like, what does he think is happening? I guess they get used to it. Yeah, I guess you have to. I guess because there's nothing you can do as a regular Lebanese citizen. There's nothing you can do as an individual Lebanese person about your apartment building being blown into dust in the middle of the night by an Israeli airstrike. What do you suggest they do other than just get used to it? Fight back? You mean join Hezbollah? I mean, it's like, what? This is the thing. This is why it's like, I mean, there's like little hints occasionally that there could be something to the QAnon kind of, I was like joking about it on the Alex Jones show today, saying to Trump, like, this is your one option now. Trump has one option left, and it is to turn on Israel. It's the only option. The only option he has at this point to save not only his own reputation, the nation of America, the Republican Party. His only option now is to pretend like this was all on purpose. Is to say, we wanted to get out of the Middle East, but I didn't want to leave all of the expensive equipment we had there, so we tricked Iran into bombing it. We tricked Iran into bombing our bases so that we could get out of the Middle East, just like I promised. I said we'd get out of the Middle East. We're getting out. You just didn't expect me to do it like I did you? You didn't think I was smart enough to be driven out of the Middle East, but I was. I was. And Israel was trying to mess with us, so I said, maybe I'll let Iran bomb them a little bit. Maybe I'll let Bibi deal with the consequences of his little war. So I told Iran, why don't you bomb Tel Aviv for a little while? So I let him bomb Tel Aviv. I don't in a million years think that's going to happen, but that it would kind of be a good solution, wouldn't it? I mean, it's not going very well for Israel. It seems like what the Israeli media is hyper fixated right now on is trying to prove that Benjamin Netanyahu is even alive still. And they're not doing a great job at convincing everybody of that. So, you know, we get to that in just a second. But there's another story that I want to get to that I'll save for when Rex is here, because I want to like puzzle it out in real time. I want to like have a back and forth conversation with him about it, because it's the Wall Street Journal saying that the only people that knew America was going to attack Iran when we did were Hegseth Rubio, General Dan Kane, and Hegseth Rubio, Vance, and Trump. I think maybe there was one more, but there's not a single Jewish person in the list. And it's essentially saying that like they're the only ones that knew, which I don't even know how you could believe that. Like, it doesn't even make sense, right? Who's the other person? Besant? No, it wasn't Besant. Besant wasn't there. And so what they're claiming is that, like, they're like, it was a single group chat with these guys, and they decided unilaterally to go to war with Iran and didn't tell anybody. And even the diplomats in America didn't know that it was about to happen, which I think would mean that, I said online, like, well, I don't think this is true, but if it is, it would change everything. Because then that would mean, like, what they're insinuating is that Kushner and Witkoff, when they're negotiating with Iran, they were negotiating in good faith. They really thought they were negotiating with Iran. You're telling me that Kushner and Witkoff didn't know that they were playing a role and that they were being set up, basically? Because that's what that would mean, right? So if that was true, that might actually contribute to the idea that, like, wait, is this all 4D chess? Like, I don't think it is. I really don't. But occasionally there's little things like that. That's like, wait, Hegseth Rubio and Vance decided to do this. Kushner wasn't involved, and Witkoff wasn't involved, and Huckabee wasn't involved. Like, it just doesn't even make sense. But if it's true, like, it could change the whole shade of this. But then you see videos like that, and it's like, this isn't a 5D chess. Trump literally doesn't understand the people in Lebanon can't leave or don't want to leave and shouldn't have to leave. Like, it's truly, truly inexplicable. People in Lebanon just get used to being bombed, and so I guess they like it. Okay. Only a small group was looped into the preparations for Iran, including J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and Hegseth. That narrowed the advice, information, and ideas available to the president, who had to balance the many downsides of the attack. The small group arrangement was by design, administration officials said. It allowed Trump to respond quickly to shifting developments and was similar to how the president handled the strikes on three Iranian nuclear sites in June. Another reason was to contain leaks, officials said. Okay, so then how did you coordinate the attacks with Israel? Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's crazy. I think what's more likely is it's going so badly, they just gave you the list of people who this will be blamed on, and they will have their political careers destroyed over this, while the people that actually put it into motion, like Kushner, is making billions of dollars and is going to, you know, skate away from this scot-free. So I think it's all a complete scam. I think they are setting up their puppets to take the blame, take the fall, when this thing turns out as badly as it was always intended to go. That's what I think is happening. Because then you hear Trump talk about it, and it's like, this dude doesn't, he's not pulling tricks on anybody. He's not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. The man thinks that Lebanese people enjoy being bombed. I don't know if you can predict anything he's going to think. It's just like, this is a madman. Let's go to clip 29 here. This one's interesting. This one's really interesting. And actually, I think we have time before we go to clip 29 here. We can go to the thing it's being asked about, which is that David Sacks mentioned, maybe I didn't pull in the video, but I'll pull the story here in just a second. David Sacks mentioned that he was worried that Israel might use a nuke. And this is very interesting because officially Israel doesn't have nukes. So when you have a top Trump advisor, David Sacks, talking openly about the fact that Israel has and is willing to use nuclear weapons, that's an interesting development. And then Trump is asked about it, and it gets more interesting still. Let's go to clip 29.
He also warned that if the conflict escalates, Israel may contemplate the use of a nuclear weapon. Has he shared that assessment with you?
No, yes. And Israel wouldn't do that. Israel would never do that. And there's a theory. You've pounded them to hell and you can just leave now and it'll take 10 years for them to build back not nearly what they have right now. And I guess that's another theory, but we want.
Okay, so they have a nuclear weapon is what you're saying. Basically, you're acknowledging that Israel does have a nuclear weapon. Now, call me crazy, but, you know, Trump just said right there, again, no holds barred, no caveat, no wiggle room. He said, Israel won't do that. But he also said Israel won't annex the West Bank, and they are, in fact, violently annexing the West Bank. So I don't think Trump is in a place to say they won't use nuclear weapons. I don't think he has the ability to stop them if they wanted to. So I would be worried about that. I am worried about that, especially since Tel Aviv continually gets bombarded by Iranian missiles that are evading the Iron Dome. It's hard to tell exactly how often that's happening because it's all censored, but it's absolutely not going well for them. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is Trump again commenting on what was behind the attack on Iran that we launched retardedly. Let's watch.
Their energy, and they should come and they should help us protect it. You could make the case that maybe we shouldn't even be there at all because we don't need it. We have a lot of oil. We were the number one producer anywhere in the world times two, by double, at least double. Now I think it's much higher than that. but we do it. It's almost like we do it for habit. But we also do it for some very good allies that we have in the Middle East.
We do it out of habit? He just said we went to war with Iran because it's a habit that we're in? Yeah, it's getting worse, folks. It is actually getting worse. And again, he's like, and some allies that we have in the region. Just to remind us once again, yes, this is about Israel. Yes, it is absolutely and 100% driven by concern for Israel by the Trump administration, which serves Israel more than it serves America. And he just like says it over and over. I don't know. You can keep being mad at people like me or Tucker Carlson or whoever else, just acknowledges what is being openly stated by the president and his top advisors and lieutenants. But yeah, it's anti-Semitic, I guess, to just understand the words being said by the people who made the decision about why they made the decision. You would think it'd be easier. It'd be easier to figure this stuff out. So I don't know. You know, it's just like, all right, we got into this war. Oh, yeah. And so then he's talking about how other countries are going to help. Nobody's helping. Nobody's helping. Here's the list. Trump asked the world to send warships. Here's what every country said. France, they officially rejected, will not send warships. China, no response. Called it a sovereign right. United Kingdom is, quote, discussing options with allies, no commitment. And actually, I don't know when this list was made, but the story today is that the UK is just like, absolutely not. We will not be joining anything having to do with the Iran war. Japan, silence. 70% of Japan's Middle East oil comes through the Strait of Hormuz, but they aren't responding. South Korea has not sent a confirmation one way or the other. Seoul is caught between Washington and its own oil dependency. Germany has also come out with a resounding rejection of the plan, saying we will absolutely not be involved in this. Norway also rejected it. Qatar has already stopped gas production, declared force majeure. Their energy minister said that this will bring down the economies of the world. The UAE, Gulf states, quote, tried to stop this war because they knew the implications. Iran, of course, is still attacking ships, still laying mines, still blocking the strait. 10 countries, zero warships, the most powerful military on the earth, asked for backup and got ghosted. So that's kind of embarrassing. Germany rules out joining international military mission to protect the Strait of Hormuz. Foreign Minister Johann Waldefel said on Sunday that his country will not participate in an international military mission to protect merchant ships in the Strait of Hormuz. We will soon become an active part of this conflict. No, he told the public broadcaster. The federal government has a very clear position on this, which Chancellor Friedrich Merz and Defense Minister Boris Pistorius have made clear. We will not take part in this conflict. Okay, I wouldn't either. Good choice, Germany. Quote, UK will not be drawn into a wider war, says Starmer. The UK will not be drawn into a wider war in the Middle East, Prime Minister Keir Starmer said on Monday as tensions in the region continue. Speaking at a news conference, Starmer said his government would continue working towards a swift resolution, stressing that the priority was to bring the fighting to an end. Okay, they're not helping. Trump is now attacking Starmer for not sending warships. But of course, he knew that this was a threat the entire time and decided to do it anyway. So you tell me. You tell me what the hell's going on. Are they stupid? Is it on purpose? I think it's a mix of both. I think that the people directing Trump to do this are the same people directing him to imprison Tucker Carlson. And just like they know Tucker Carlson's not a foreign agent and they're not actually stopping foreign interference, they knew that the Iran war would be a disaster for America. That's why they pushed it. That was the purpose of it for them.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell,
And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. You're Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theallshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Iran started this shit, not Israel.
Are you a boomer? You sound like a boomer to me.
You sound like you're pro-Iran.
I'm pro-America. I'm pro-anti-foreign entanglement.
That's a pipe dream. I think our politicians today, who are baby boomers, have fucked this country up. That's why I gave Bernie Sanders so much money.
We came out here to West Campus looking for answers. We wanted to see how the American people felt. Were they pro or anti-war? Now, I was thinking I'd talk to a lot of younger people that were passionate about being anti-war. And there was a fair share of that. But there was also the boomer, the appearance of the wild boomer, and the debate, discussion, argument with him. What is it about? What is the soul of the boomer? Is the boomer self-loathing? Does the boomer engage in whataboutism? Why do they support Israel? Why do they support endless wars in the Middle East? Well, you're about to find out, and it's up to you to decide who you agree or disagree with. I'm Rex Jones with Gray Area, Gray Area Network, out here on the streets of Austin, Texas, getting the work in, on the field, getting things done.
Look, this whole war in Iran is a shitty proposition, but it is a necessary one.
Okay.
Because Iran has been a cancer in the Middle East for a long time, and this war is like...
All right, folks, you got to go to Rex Jones News on X to see that full video. But that, of course, was one and only Rex Jones on the streets of Austin, Texas, talking to people, finding out what the people think. He joins me in studio now to talk about all of the day's news. How was it, Rex? What was How long were you out there? What were the responses you were getting?
Man, you know how it is. Traditionally, you have to be out there for like several hours to get a really good result. I mean, he was like a legendary or shiny Pokemon. He kind of just appeared in front of us and we kind of got what we needed to get out of the street interviews for that day. We talked to a few other people. Most people didn't want to engage with us, which confirmed my initial suspicions just after talking to friends, family, acquaintances. People still sadly don't care enough about the conflict. The war, like they don't want to acknowledge that it's going on.
Do you think that's because they had opinions about the war that they just didn't want to say, or do you think it's because they just weren't interested? Why do you think they didn't want to
talk about it? I think that's a part of it. You have a lot of people saying like free Palestine or free Gaza, but they don't want to talk to you on the street as you kind of walk by. They'll kind of yell things like that at you. And that's very, very common in the youth culture, predominant in the youth culture, I would say. And really, you know, we were on West Campus. We were there to find younger people to talk to. It was really weird to encounter him.
Yeah.
You know, because he's like, I protested against the Vietnam War. That's why it's okay for me to be a neocon Jack. And I was like, okay, like, what are you doing here by the boba tea place? That's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah. So he was full boomer mode, like fully indoctrinated.
A powerful boomer. He'd studied history, told me 5 times.
Oh no, that's not good. When boomers study history, they study all the wrong stuff. So was it a generational divide? Did you have any young people who were in favor of the war?
No, overwhelmingly, like, here's what I was saying. This was my ask, and you'll see it in the other video that I'll drop soon with the other interviews. The boomer one's like 14, 15 minutes long, so it has to be in its own tape, right? Overwhelmingly, people are anti-war. People call out Israel for being the cause of the war and dragging us into not just this conflict, but other conflicts as well. The American public is aware of this, yeah, right? And even the people that I talked to that didn't even really want to talk, they gave better arguments than this guy. This guy, what he would say, and you'll see it in the video, you watch it in full, he goes, listen, here's the thing. You're talking about death, child murder, war that we initiated, illegal war of aggression, the greatest war crime. That's what the head judge at Nuremberg said. All the other war crimes are contained inside of the illegal war of aggression. No. It's life is in living color, you see. So when you barbecue the baby, if you do it in living color, that makes it okay. All these pretty metaphors and the whataboutism, I'd say, hey, what do you think about us killing the Pope to like a quarter billion Muslims? What do you think about that? He would go, do you know about Dachau and the Holocaust? And I'd be like,
what?
Where do we go from here? And that's that generational thing, right? That's that generational permission they have to be victims over and over and over again. And it's also a savior complex. You know, we were the generation that protested against Vietnam. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, has the country gotten better or worse for the 50 years that you've been voting?
Seriously. Longer.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean that, well, I'm just glad you went out and did the man on the street. I was telling you during the break, like, I want to go out and do this because I have no idea what the average person, I mean, I know.
We used to do a ton.
We used to do it a lot. And you know, it could be a little bit dangerous. I mean, it's pretty astonishing. We used to go out on UT campus and they would like Antifa would like,
yes,
would like find our location. They'd like triangulate us.
Try to shut it down.
Yeah. And they'd show up like 5 minutes after we got there. They would show up in masks with signs. And it's like, how do you even know that we're here?
That's dead. You know, in the modern political culture, really? I really think that's faded. Yeah. You don't have that kind of like, I would call it LARPing, you know, civil conflict between sides. You kind of just have people that are tired of the political process. No one's out there willing to fight for Trump. No one's out there willing to fight for the Antifa, at least not openly in the public like I've seen before in prior years and decades, right? It's just kind of an environment of apathy, right? Because everyone has realized now at this point that you can't vote against this stuff. Mm. And of course, you still have extremists and radical crazies everywhere. I'm not saying Antifa is dead, but it's not the same kind of civil protest argument environment that it was before.
Well, that's interesting, and it's not a surprise now that the news from Polymarket today, just in, or I guess this was, so on the 14th, it officially happened, according to Polymarket, the chance for the Senate to flip to Democrats officially overtook the possibility that it remains Republican.
Go figure.
Which I'm kind of surprised it took that long. I thought for sure it would have been flipped a while ago, but yeah, apparently the, you know, Republican Party is just tanking in popularity and for very good and obvious reason, right?
Well, isn't it interesting how the Republicans, they always make the point, like the Scott Pressler guy and guys like this, like, we need to get elected. We need to work harder to get elected. We have to have on the ground campaigns. We have to do grassroots outreach. And it's like, you don't do anything for the people. Why the hell would the people vote for you? And wait. We got record turnout, record in multiple demographics, young people, black, Latino, you name it, voting for Trump, supporting the 2024 agenda. And everything that they wanted, they didn't get. So surprise, surprise, you're going to lose the House and the Senate. Cause and effect.
Yeah, I mean, They know, right? I mean, it's not like they're actually confused, are they?
No, no, no. It's like a game of musical chairs where there is no music, and if you say there's no music, we kill you. That's a Tim Dillon metaphor. I didn't make that up myself. I borrowed it from him. But that's where we are.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it just seems so obvious to me. I just tend to think everybody who doesn't see what's going on is just pretending. I cannot believe that they...
Well, it's more fun. It's more profitable to pretend, you know, like the Brendan Dillies, the Cat Turd, the Gunther Eagleman, the Voldemort, She Who Shall Not Be Named. All of these types of people, they're making the most money. They're making the most power. They're making the most influence they've ever had in their entire lives right now. But spoiler alert, all of it is going to rapidly go away because that didn't just come to you because you were entitled to it. That was a pure energy source, a sword that we gave to Trump and the administration that they turned on us and stabbed us with.
Right.
And you don't get to pervert that because the people can take it away too.
Yeah. And we're going to, and of course the saddest thing is that is just in line with America's enemies. So it's like, I've been saying forever, I think that they took over the Republican Party with the intention of shutting the Republican Party down. Like, they knew that they were going to go to war with Iran, that everybody was going to hate it, and we're going to not vote for Republicans, and the Democrats are going to sweep in and destroy America through mass immigration. And that's all part of the plan, right? That's not unwanted by the people doing this.
Well,
they don't like the Republican Party.
Well, it's a horror movie. It's a zombie movie. And we had MAGA. We had this, you know, entity, that this being that we all identified with, right? They killed that. They replaced it. They shocked it. They made a Frankenstein out of it. Now it's Make Israel Great Again, MIGA. That's what we're at now. It's MIGA.
Yeah, pretty much. What the hell?
Those are just some real MIGAs right there.
Yeah.
You know, real MIGA roll call.
This is from the Drunk Republican at Drunk Repub on X.
That's nice.
He says, "I don't know what's happening." He doesn't know. He doesn't know, Rex. "I don't know what's happening, but
not my Trump. Oh, not my Trump.
I do know 50 conservative gatekeepers didn't all simultaneously have the same epiphany about Israel. It's not organic. And I think it's a little strange for people who also criticized Islam for the last 25 years to suddenly begin fawning over it.
They ought to be looked into for that evil Islam." Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, just the first, "I don't know what's happening." It's like, yes, you do. What are you talking about? You know what's happening.
I do not know what's happening. People protest dear leader Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, they say he bad, he good. He make birds sing in morning. That's the same thing.
That's kind of what it is, right? Yeah, willful, like, deliberate fake ignorance about what's going on. But even this, like, 50 conservative gatekeepers didn't all simultaneously have the same epiphany. It's like, no, Israel spent the last 2.5 years bombing and ethnically cleansing an imprisoned populace. That's what caused everybody. It's like insane to me that they sit here. It's like somebody slaps you in the face and is like, "Well, what, you liked me 5 minutes ago?" It's like, yeah, then you slap me in the face.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. Sorry for all the metaphors, but it really is the best way to explain it. MAGA was like this great party they told us they were taking us to. They got the limousine, they got the drinks, they got the punch, all of it. We get in the limo, we're driving there, we're drinking the Kool-Aid, we got roofied. And we wake up and they're about to do some really bad stuff that involves a train and us, okay? So we need to get out of Dodge. We're making that demand now. And who's the ringleader of the party? It's Mark Levin.
Mark freaking Levin.
Marky Mark, dude. Marky Mark. I like calling him that. Marky Mark, Mark Levin.
Well, we call him Micro Mark now.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
We call him Micro, courtesy
Dane
of...
Dane Kelly's been going pretty hard, pun intended.
Which he deserves. Like, and I don't know if you saw the video I played earlier, but, or if you've seen it online where the guy says, you know, "We're not going to defeat Tucker Carlson. We have to humiliate him."
Right.
It's like, okay, I heard you had a tiny dick. So what next? Okay, you want to play the humiliation game, you dirtbags? It's just like, they cannot compete on a factual level. They have to try humiliation. The problem is that in and of itself is a strategy, because then they can point to Megyn Kelly and go, "Look at this. She's unhinged. She's crazy." When really it's a year and a half of persistent, like, bothering her and insulting her and saying bad things about her. Finally, she snaps and is like, "Well, F you." And it's like, "Oh my God, Megyn Kelly is so crazy. Well, why would she say this?"
Well, that's the hypocrisy that they engage in, right? That's the cognitive dissonance that they engage in. It's like, it's fine for us to attack you, but if you ever attack us, you know, like, we're just going to get rid of you. Well, isn't that Israel's foreign policy as well?
Yeah, but the crazy thing is, it doesn't even have to be attack. Like, it's one thing if it's like, you deserve to die. No, you deserve to die. It's more
sure,
like,
sure.
You deserve to die. I don't like what Israel's doing. She deserves to die even more. Like, it's like, Vangeli never threatened anybody. Like, sorry. Yeah. It's like what you're saying is true, but it's like so much worse even than you're saying because it's so disequal.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's another aspect to it, right? Whereas, like, here's the thing. Like, people want to, like, we're going to destroy your reputation. We're going to humiliate you, X, Y, Z. Well, you barbecue and kill children, okay?
Right.
So, like, the priorities here of what Americans care about, they want to laugh at something on their phone more than they want to stop child murder. Like that's where we're at right now. And the whole cutesy game of, oh, Trump's with, you know, Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and Lindsey Graham. And, oh, you know, he used to hate him. Now they love each other. And people on the far right or, you know, yeah, people on the far right that support these evil monsters that we have in office right now, they go, well, you know, I have my disagreements with Fetterman, with Lindsey Graham, and they're working really hard to back the president's agenda. And, you know, that MTG and that Massey, they ain't backing the president's agenda. And it's literally like leader worship, cult worship, like God worship. They treat Trump like he's a god.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also sucks because he is doing all of the stuff that they always accused him of doing. Like that's like the craziest part.
That's the final,
like,
humiliation
oh
for
my,
us.
It's like, oh my God, he really is a foreign agent. He really is like completely unhinged and like saying stuff that isn't true and changing it. It's like, they always like to portray that, but if you paid attention, you could always tell, like, okay, Trump's trying to play him here. Okay, he's being a little vague with this answer, but we know what's really happening. But now it's just like, okay, all of the stuff they said, it's all true. And it's the same thing. I mean, it's always the case with the GOP. 99% of the time, they're true Americans. They say all the right stuff. And then it comes to Israel, and they're just like, kill them all. We have to kill them all. And it's like you become the parodies of yourselves whenever Israel gets brought up. So Trump has just become the parody of himself. He is fully confirmed all of the worst things they ever said about him.
Yeah. And you know, it's really tough to defend him for 10 years. I mean, I remember in high school having to learn the facts of the Russia hoax. So I was able to debate people on the Steele dossier or the Mueller report. I mean, you remember the Mueller report and all that? Like, think about how ancient that is. And really, it's not ancient. It's only, you know, a few years, like a decade away from where we're at now. But politics is like the blink of an eye and also slow motion, like all at the same time. But we're sitting in this era now where we have Donald Trump, who's gone through all these things that we backed him and supported him through. And then he just turns around and drop kicks us. And we're sitting here. We're not the ones that left the party. The party left us. Okay. And it's not our responsibility to have an undying support for any sort of dear leader or dear party or any of that. That's communism. That's fascism. That's what it is. I can't call it anything else. It drives me up a wall. I mean, you think about this. You played the Tucker thing earlier. I was watching the show. You played the Tucker thing. Very interesting. When you played the Tucker thing, can you imagine the headline of Donald Trump, criminal foreign agent intelligence investigation into Tucker Carlson a year ago, 2 years ago? Can you imagine that?
There's a lot of stuff I cannot imagine.
No, it's a hell world that we've woken up in. It's the roofie party. Like it's mega.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's just, I don't want to just say the same thing over and over, but it's like, Ben Shapiro was a never Trumper. And you know, the really interesting thing is, if you read the articles from Ben Shapiro when he was arguing against Donald Trump, he uses exactly the same words and phrases that he now uses to criticize Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
Ben Shapiro was calling Donald Trump an isolationist. He was calling Donald Trump all the things he calls Tucker Carlson. He was calling Donald Trump that. So it's kind of like when, Jordan Peterson was
clean your room.
Yeah, he's calling Nick Fuentes. They're all deep. It's just the dark triad, and it's just like blatant, just attempted.
He's wearing
censorship.
A Riddler suit. Well, he says
he's wearing some multicolored, you know, question mark suit the whole time. And but he is like trying to. You threw me off with the Riddler.
I'm sorry. I'm bad.
Costume. No, but he tries to like impart his, you know, basically just like criticizing and hatred of Nick Fuentes with this like, actually it's a psychological phenomenon known as the dark triad. And people look into it and they go, wait, you said the same thing about people who didn't want to get the COVID vaccine. This is just a facade of like academic legitimacy that you're just placing over what is at the end of the day just like pure just hatred, just baseless hatred.
It's all AI speak. It's all, you know, generated garbage, HR talk, HR protocol. That's what these people engage in. Anyone who's pro-war will engage with that with you online. They'll do whataboutism. They'll do non sequitur. They'll do ad hominem attack. And that's like, hey, that's not an argument. You have to provide an argument. If we have an argument against it, do you have an argument for it? Can you argue for it? And here's the thing. Even people that are tacitly supportive of this, like people like the Quartering and others, here's the thing. You do not get to support this current administration in its current form, what it's doing. Like, this is wrong. Okay. And if you don't call it wrong, you're not going to have a political career in a few years. So you might want to think about that.
I mean, it's just true. And again, this is the thing that doesn't make any sense. It would make sense if it's like, okay, they're doing this because it's cynical and political and whatever they're going to, but it's like, so you're at the end of this, you're going to be less popular. You're going to have nothing. Like, what even is the play for that?
They think that they're going to set up the new system in time. And I think that they're grievously in error on that. I think they're grievously wrong on that. I mean, you look at RFK and Tulsi Gabbard. You'd think that for a future political campaign, senator, president, whatever they would run for or in a position in another administration, they would resign on principle and take that political capital forward into another administration or political agenda, right?
It'd actually be a good move.
It would be it's a no-brainer. You don't have to go to political science school to understand these things. That's like the basic thing that you would do if you war gamed it out.
Yeah, 100%. And again, just the absurdity of people like you and I who I know people have heard the story before. You've told it a lot. But I don't think people understand like what this means. You were one of the key reasons why Alex started looking into Donald Trump.
Yes.
And Alex, helping Trump got him elected in 2016. That was testified to under oath during the trial, was that like Alex Jones and his support of Trump was crucial.
Butterfly effects, crazy, ain't
butterfly
it?
Effect. So like in a very big way, you are literally responsible for the situation we're in Rex.
It's weird. You know, all pebbles that fell into the pool, right? I mean, here's the thing. Like I was with my dad when I was 15 and we were watching that first Republican debate and Trump's on the stage doing the whole Megyn Kelly thing. And I recognized the aura, the zenith, the zeitgeist of his energy. And I was like, well, this guy's obviously going to be the president. My dad goes, you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not going to happen. They're going to swamp him out and you're not going to be able to win. And look what happens. And I kept pushing. I was like, hey, you know, Trump's going to win, right? Trump's going to win. I like Trump. And he was like, okay. And eventually, you know, he got on board and had him on the show. So
yeah. And the world has never been the same for good or ill. But for people like us,
we all believed in him, man. And like that
and worked
that
for
real.
Him and suffered because we worked for him. And it took me a little bit longer than it took you. You were, you know, ahead of the curve on that. But still, since 2016, I've lost friends. I've changed my whole life, you know, over the support of Trump. And it's like, for people like us to now be told by people like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro.
Disgusting.
It is genuinely insane. Here's a great example. I'm sure you've been seeing this article go around by Matt Van Swole. Matt Van Swole wrote an article called "The Right Has a Podcast Problem and It Might Cost Us an Election."
Sounds like the left to me. Well, that's the exact same thing they were saying about Rogan, wasn't it?
It is literally it is actually the woke right. But there's a whole article about how, you know, the right wing, you know, anti-Israel people are going to cost us the election. Sam Parker points out this guy, Matt Van Swole, literally posted a picture on October 1st, 2024, saying, I officially became a Republican. Today I voted for the first time as a Republican. Use your voice, make change. So literally became a Republican 1 month before the election. He's now out here telling people like you and I, who have suffered and struggled and fought for Trump for 10 years, that we don't belong here anymore because recent convert Matt Van Swole says so.
Right. Well, here's the crazy thing. I don't know how old Matt is. Let's say he's 30 years old, right? I've been doing this since Matt was 18.
Right.
And God knows what Matt was doing when he was 18. Who knows what job he had or if going to school, going to college, whatever. We've been doing this for a very long time. That's why we have the credibility that we have. And unlike all of these other people who are grifting off the social media engagement and the dear leader worship and the worship of the peace president, quote unquote, we're going to have careers and jobs and work after this because we're not reliant on this one administration. And that's where the worship comes from. They built their own mainstream media. That's what they did. They made an influencer network. They didn't go to the channels. They didn't run ads. They figured out how to do it with engagement alone. And they manipulate that, in my opinion.
And it could have been a great thing if it had actually, you know, benefited the American people, but instead they are now all cheering on our total and abject destruction. It's really inexplicable. Like I'm just continually amazed at where we are in the modern world. It demands explanation because it is not obvious on like from looking at normally everything is obvious. Like that's what I feel like is throwing me off is that for the last month, it's like, I don't think anybody has any idea what to do. Normally somebody knows what's happening and is pulling the strings. And so we are just trying to identify who that is and what their purpose is. It's kind of hard when it doesn't seem like anybody has a plan and nobody is doing things that I like. I don't think Israel is in charge of the situation. I don't think Trump is in charge of the situation.
There is no plan to trust. There is no plan to trust. There is no plan to trust. They tell us trust the plan. They tell us patriots are in control doing the Q signaling and all the weirdness. There is no plan. You cannot pretend that there is a plan. There is a war that you said was not a war that you said you've won every single day and it's still going on. That's where we are.
It's weird.
Win, 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 fight, 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 bomb, 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 kill, 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 steal, 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 censor, censor, censor. That's me. That's what I do now. Agenda 47, 47 years, 47 years Iran's been evil. They're trying to get a nuclear weapon. That's why I had to kill little kids in the school. I had to bomb the school because I had a nuclear weapon. And it's just, it's not true, Donald. We all know it's not true.
Crazy. It's crazy. What do you think about the fact that nobody will help us try to shut the...
They know. And here's the claim. He goes, we've destroyed 99% of their Navy, their military, whatever. Their Navy, their military, the things that Trump has claimed we've destroyed, they're all vestigial. Their real weapons are in caves. It's the smaller boats. It's the missile systems, the giant underground missile and drone silos. And guess what, Donald? The Strait of Hormuz, I saw Hegseth comment on this. He goes, or someone else, I think it was the Energy Secretary, excuse me. He goes, the Strait of Hormuz is open. It's just open to Chinese and Indian ships only because the Iranians will only let those pass through. So they know they've lost.
Yeah.
No, they know they've lost the conflict.
Hegseth, the Strait of Hormuz is open except for the missiles.
That's right. It's like, that's right. You know, Amber Heard is going to let me be her pool boy. Shout out to you. But she doesn't know that I exist. So that's a big problem.
These things are fine. It's fine. And again, this is the thing. It's like, I don't know. In a way, it's like Trump did just – it's almost like he started to believe the lies, like he believed the crap they said about him.
You got to understand. Real MIGAs roll deep. Okay, that's MIGA, make Israel great again. That's something Trump has said himself. He is a MIGA. Okay, so we have to understand that through the – that's the lens we got to understand it all through. It's not logical. It's not rational because they're real MIGA.
It's just making Israel great again.
That's right. That's MIGA.
It. Yeah, I just okay, how's that going for Israel? Like, that's the other thing. Israel is being bombed to smithereens. Do you think Netanyahu's alive or dead?
That's a good question. Let's get into that after the break.
All right, we'll study that after the break. And we have a lot of AI videos to go to. We'll be back with the third hour of The War Room. Rex Jones in studio with me. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. You can also go to shroomforce.com.
Shroomforce.com.
Everybody's going there.
Everybody loves mushrooms. They say, Trump, how are you so smart? How are you so tough? I say, well, you know, it'd be a lot smarter and tougher if I took Shroom Force mushrooms, shroomforce.com. Thank you, Harrison. I appreciate it.
That's not a bad impression. We'll be right back.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So
By the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at TheAlexShowStore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at TheAlexShowStore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, TheAlexShowStore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at TheAlexShowStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with Rex Jones. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z.
Yes, sir.
Benjamin Netanyahu, is he alive or is he dead? What do you think, Rex?
Here's the thing. It's kind of like being a Jedi. You know, I think I would know if the Sith Lord had passed away. I think there'd be a disturbance in the Force. I'm not a true believer. Maybe that can be changed. I know you got some videos here you want to show me that we're going to go through and disseminate from the audience, but I think Palpatine's still around. But it's kind of like Schrodinger's dictator, right? Because you have the Ayatollah who may be dead in a coma, and then you have Netanyahu who may be fake and AI and dead.
Yeah.
So like, what's going on? Are they alive or are they dead?
And, you know, if we're moving into a brave new world, maybe it's fine that he's dead. Maybe you just have AI Benjamin Netanyahu give addresses written by AI.
The first hologram world leader.
He can be the first hologram world leader. He can be the...
Like Futurama, the head in the jar?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. He can be our first president head in a jar, president of the world. I think it's great. I think it's good. There are some videos. It's not even like the AI artifacts that people are finding in the videos that I find suspicious. It's like the content of the videos themselves, that he's like in a coffee shop.
He's a caffeine addict. You gotta stay awake when you're committing genocide.
I guess so. I guess you need the caffeine to fuel you.
Stay pumped, yeah.
Let's go to clip 30 here, clip 31. We'll go to clip 30 first. So, but even these are a follow-up. So, like a week ago, people started saying Benjamin Netanyahu is dead. They hit his house. I guess his brother...
Right.
Was either hurt or died. Again, I can't even tell what's true and what's not. Everything
right. Fog of war.
But about a week ago, they said, okay, looks like Netanyahu may have been hit. Then they came out with the two videos of him saying that they were bringing about the Messiah and we're going to rebuild the third temple. And like, that was crazy. And people noticed that there were some weird artifacts, you know, six fingered hands, things like that. So then these videos were released as a follow up to the first video. So the first video was released to prove he was alive. Everybody's like, why does he have six fingers? Then they released these videos to prove that those videos were real. Again, I don't know. Let's go to the video of him in the coffee shop. So they're basically like, are you dead? And he's like, I'm dying for some coffee. And he's got five fingers, see? Oh, five fingers there too. And now people are pointing out a bunch of stuff about this. It looks like AI.
Well, he's got a big gap between his two fingers in the middle there. I don't have one like that. Maybe that just means he's more alpha or something. I don't know.
I mean, the whole thing's kind of weird. The coffee isn't really moving when he moves the cup around. I mean, it's foam. Maybe. Maybe.
The world doesn't get this kind of gift. What are you talking about? He's alive.
I bet he is alive, but why would you make a video at a coffee shop? Like, this is what I don't understand. He's like treating it like a joke, but it's like, you know, it's kind of real. I don't know. I was just thinking, like, if I'm the prime minister of a country and like, we're in the middle of like the most intense war we've been in since the 70s. Tel Aviv is being bombed on a regular basis. They bombed the Mossad headquarters. They bombed your personal home. You're not going to take it seriously. You're not going to come out and reassure your people that you're alive. You're going to make it a big joke. And I'm dying for some coffee. And it's like, I don't know, man. This is weird. Because the other thing, like your dad said, he was like, you know, Netanyahu is under the ground. He's in like, which I agree with. If I was Netanyahu, I wouldn't be walking around on the surface
underground. Yeah.
Right. But here he's drinking coffee in a coffee shop. There's another video where he's like on a hike or something. Clip 30 here. Let's go to clip 30. This is the other video that they put out proving that he's alive. And it's like, well, what is he doing? Aren't they waging a war right now? Shouldn't he be in a
is that Israel? Is that confirmed to be Israel?
I have no idea. And why is this, why is the security wearing masks?
Is this Susan?
I don't know. The whole thing.
His security is probably like Brock Sampson from Venture Bros. Like, probably is the best security on the planet.
That's probably true.
I don't know. Like, why is he in this magnificent vineyard or wherever he is?
Why is he in a place that's vulnerable? Why is he doing this in the middle of the war? Why would you not just come out and give an actuals to talk about what was going on?
He's smart enough that could be pre-recorded. That could be another thing as well. The biggest evidence is that he missed that defense briefing. Bibi Netanyahu. I love you, Bibi. Bibi Netanyahu.
He's dead.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's the new Patriot Silver Folding Knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Look, it's real, you guys. How dare you question? What are you, anti-Semitic? What are you spreading these Iranian talking points for? Of course this is real. Of course Netanyahu's alive. You can't fake this sort of stuff. I mean, I know AI's good, but no, no, he's alive. Look. It's all so obvious. Oh, no. Oh, no. He's being arrested.
Excellent work.
The crew's having fun today. You know, I'm just trying to think, like, okay, if he did die, what would they do? Would they announce it?
They would nuke Iran. And, like, that's that's my primary, like, reasoning as to why, like, I think that he's alive. I mean, that would be kind of like their, like, a gift to them, right?
They would want to use his death.
Well, let's think about it. Both the state and Netanyahu have this insane interest in staying alive. Netanyahu, because he sees himself as some sort of biblical figure who's going to bring back the greater Israel, and he wants to stay alive, much like Hitler, to implement his evil agenda. And then you have the people that are in the government, right? And if Netanyahu were to pass away right now, I mean, it would be the best thing in the world for them, right? Like they get to say, wow, you know, this figurehead, this controversial figure who led our country to grow and expand, but also led our country into these genocidal conflicts. Well, he's dead now, so we get to wipe out the greatest enemy that caused it. And we're going to be reformed now, so you can't criticize us. That was all Netanyahu.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's my point.
That could work well. But here's the other thing. There have been very popular spiritual leaders in Israel who have prophesied that Netanyahu will be the final prime minister before the Messiah comes. And so the Messiah, he's supposed to be the one that, like, ushers in the Messiah. So if he's dead and the Messiah's not here, they were wrong, and that would discredit that whole thing.
We actually, on Gray Area Talks on X or YouTube or Rumble, if you want to follow or subscribe to us there, we talked to an Israeli citizen. He basically laid it down like this. He's like, look, the secular Israelis, they have their own things that they want in government. They have the same survival thing going on where, like, they feel threatened so that they're going to kill people and vice versa. And he's like, hey, like, we're just fighting each other. Like, we're killing each other. It's like, what happens in that area? The ultra-Orthodox faction, they're, like, completely different human beings. They live in, like, kind of, like, self-imposed ghettos, like, they live in poverty that they impose on themselves, and they don't do military service, they don't pay taxes, they literally just beg for money on the street. That's who Netanyahu represents. So
the very extreme
ultra-Orthodox Likudniks, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of the funny part is that, you know, they'll it's like, well, all these Israelis are protesting against the war. It's like they just don't want to fight because they think it's their lot in life to be paid to study the Torah all day.
Right.
So, like, they're just mad that they can't just sit around getting government checks and not having to fight.
Well, I mean, think about it. You have this massive military surge. He's called up, you know, like 100,000 reservists or God knows how many.
450,000.
450,000. Then you got this whole group of people that are actually orchestrating the war that don't have to fight in it.
Have you seen the videos of the protests going on? It's all the Orthodox people just being beaten.
Yeah.
By the, you know, Israeli police.
Yeah. And that's the point I want to make. Like, here's the thing. I'm very against the Zionist state, genocide, evil, free Palestine, all of that. I believe in that 100%. Israel has nuclear weapons and something's going to have to be figured out. Okay. Like there's going to have to be an arrangement where this government, whenever it gets phased out, like they're going to have to make some serious concessions, reparations, do whatever they have to do. But ultimately, they're all religious radicals. And if they're threatened, the state is threatened, they're going to use nuclear weapons. So it's very scary. And like, as Americans, we've paid for all this. We bankrolled their military. We gave them the nukes basically in the 50s. We're sitting here. We've lost control of this operation. And it's like the war just as a whole. We have no control over the situation. Trump wants to pretend that he has control over the situation. Trump wants to pretend that we have air superiority and total dominance, that we've blown up their military. Ain't no brakes on this train. Ain't no brakes on this train at all. Xi Jinping announced like last month that oil will be sold in renminbi. It will be sold in yuan. And he's going to make a deal with the Iranians, where the only ships they let pass through, they're buying that oil with Chinese currency. So we're watching the end of the petrodollar in real time sacrificed to build an empire in the Middle East that hates us.
Yep. That was well put. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We are being – and again, that's why it's like even hard to cover this, because it's like we're talking about a war as if America is fighting a war to achieve a goal. But in
reality,
there
is no objective.
The people who started this war, they want to see America go down. They don't want to see America as a powerful, prosperous competitor to the new rising Middle East Israeli hegemony. So, the ultimate goal for them is, yeah, they want Iran defeated or at least destroyed to the point where it can't threaten Israel anymore. But if it's a Pyrrhic victory, that's ideal. They want America being hurt sort of as much as possible while still getting victory for Iran.
You know, the number one rule of warfare, of classical warfare, you have to know the nature of the conflict of which you're embarking on. And we had no idea at all. We made it 1,000 times worse by killing their Pope. That's how badly we didn't understand it.
Yep. And I keep saying that because it's right. The number one rule of war, know your enemy. Trump clearly doesn't know his enemy. Did you see the video? Did you see him being asked about Lebanon? And he's like, I guess they like being bombed. he's like, I don't know why they live there.
And tens of thousands have been displaced. The Israelis have announced that they're going to seize the land and that they're not allowed to come back, right?
Yeah. I mean, they've literally said we're going to give Lebanon the Gaza treatment, which hilarious because
that's not nice.
They spent the entire time Gaza was happening saying we are the most moral army and we are hyper focused and limiting attacks against civilians as much as humanly possible. And now they're just like, actually, we'll do to you what we did to Gaza. Destroy all of you.
This is a point I was making to my co-host, Tim Tompkins, on the gray area last night. I was going, well, he's like, international law, these rules, they don't mean anything. We ignore them. The whole world ignores them. It is what it is. But us primarily, I go, yeah, that's true. It's a lot like what happened in World War II with the chemical weapons and the treatment of prisoners and people ultimately in concentration camps, right? That's why we had Nuremberg. That's why we had the Geneva Convention, all these things that got made. After these horrible conflicts, guess what? 100 years later, we're rolling right into that again.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a new international framework after this because war crimes have been committed. Pete Hegseth, and here's the thing, I'm saying this on this platform, Pete Hegseth is a war criminal. They bombed that little girl's elementary school in the first strike, and they're still lying about it. They're still saying they're investigating. It was our munitions, it was our tomahawk, and we double tapped it. Trump came out there and said, well, you know, a lot of nations have tomahawks, you know, a lot of different countries. France, UK, Germany, Japan. Those are the nations that have tomahawks. Iran didn't drop a tomahawk on top of their own elementary school. Now, do I think that we deliberately suck out that elementary school and be like, we're going to bomb the elementary school first thing that we do? Absolutely not. I don't buy into that. It was negligence. It was incompetence. It was retardation ultimately, or it was malevolent Israeli intelligence. That's what I believe. All those factors coinciding into the result. Look at what's happened. We are responsible. These are war crimes, and in a future discussion, it's not going to be us at the head of the table. It's going to be China and Russia.
Yeah.
And they're going to make the new rules. And we have no one but the Trump administration to blame for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
My opinion.
And that is the speculation that it was either AI being targeted, that it was using old information, or that Israel gave them wrong information. But it may have been on purpose, because that school was located near an IRGC base, and basically the Iranian generals, that's where their kids went. So this may have well been a psychological attack. Yeah. To try to, you know.
But it's like the things that like a villain will do in a movie. Like the villain will kill the hero's parents, or, you know, like kill their dog, like John Wick or something. And they're like, nothing will ever happen to us. And then it's like, well, of course the protagonist is going to come after you. You set up the story. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And yeah, and you can't blame them. I mean, we are just clearly the bad guys in all of this. And it's upsetting because, you know, they're only getting worse. And again, it's like, it's just absurd that they're even trying to like justify what's going on in Iran. And then they're just doing it in Lebanon. And it's like, even if you were justified in doing what you're doing to Iran, which I don't think you are, none of those arguments apply to Lebanon. Lebanon, we haven't been at war with Lebanon for 47 years.
That's
they
haven't right.
killed thousands of our people. I mean, you can sort of try to have your cake and eat it too.
The nation of Israel is the state, the capital of America. So technically they have, you see. And this is the nature of this entire war. That's what you have to understand. That's the 51st state. That's the capital in the Hunger Games. We're in the districts over here, you know, suffering, grinding it out. And, you know, they're in there wearing the costumes and all that.
Well, and again, just like what they're doing to Lebanon, it just exposes the lie about Iran. It's like, they come up with all these excuses for Iran, and then they just do exactly the same thing in Lebanon. They have no reason, no excuses for it. The death toll from Israeli attacks in Lebanon has risen to 886 now. So, like, they've just murdered nearly 1,000 people in Lebanon.
Hey, you know, brown lives don't matter. You know, who are they? They're a bunch of cavemen, bunch of muzzies. That's what I've heard these people call them. Just repeating what I've heard online. You know, their lives don't matter.
That must be it. I mean, they must hate all of us. They hate Christians, obviously. Those damn Muslims, right?
They hate them too.
Should we actually? You want to actually look at what is happening? Let's go to clip 21 here. This is a video of a new statue that was just put up in the Bekaa Valley. So, you know, one of the valleys being bombed right now. Let's go to clip 21 here. Statue being erected on a mountaintop. That's weird for Muslims to do, isn't it? Isn't it weird that the extremist Muslims that just want to kill us all are erecting a gigantic statue of Jesus Christ over their homeland? Isn't that kind of strange?
Well, look, we're on the side of the place that has the tanks that hit the 1,000-year-old churches, okay?
That's right.
That's who we support. We don't – Jesus, our strongest ally, they don't like him.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Wow.
So, yeah, again, so like this is actually going up in the, I believe it is in the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. And I could show you more. I mean, there's like 150 villages that they have cleared out. Some of them were Christian.
They've cleansed them.
Ethnically cleansed them.
Yes.
And they've mobilized 450,000 reservists as ground operation in Lebanon begins. Israel destroys bridge in Lebanon, threatens, quote, Gaza scale destruction. Gaza scale destruction, folks.
And see, first it was a thing they wouldn't admit to. They'd say all the bombings were targeted. Gaza's been very humane. Now they use it as a threat.
Yeah. Again, it's like, I don't know. How are they getting away with like any of this? What do we do, man? Like, what do we need to do? Because clearly talking about it doesn't matter. They don't care. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about how many people know it. So, like, at a certain, they don't care about who gets voted for. Like, so what do we do here?
I am sorry for all the metaphor today, but I engage in it because it's a powerful communication tool that allows me to explain things to a wide audience. You have to think of the American voting public as a glass of water that's been left outside in freezing rain. Okay? And the glass of water is now covered by a layer of ice. And that layer of ice is the boomer population. As that layer of ice melts and melts and melts, and eventually as the water becomes accessible, Uncle Sam can take a drink of water and heal himself. That's what we're waiting for. And we got to figure it out. We got to figure out how to win some of these older people over, because the time is short. And the time between when the ice melts, when the system comes in, it's very close. So that's what we face. Hope that was a good metaphor.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But, and that also, you know, explains why. I mean, obviously, Israel has bet it all on this chance to take out Iran.
It's smart. It's smart. They have to do it now because they understand the political capital. They're going to lose it.
yeah, it's going away. So like they have to go for it now. So it's like, I don't know, how good of a strategy is it just to like wait to hope that they don't succeed and hope that, you know, in 10 years from now, like, I don't know, do we have that time or do we have less time?
Well, that's what we chronicle, man. That's our job, to tell the story of the age and to follow it and see what does end up happening. We don't know for sure, but I think we can make a positive change. I think we can do that, you know, 1%, 2%, 5% effort, you know, and that got Trump over the hill in 2016. Maybe we can do it again.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, the strategy I see people taking that I'm taking myself to a certain degree is like, maybe we do need to just like go harder on all of this. Like,
yes,
you know, when they claim that Tucker Carlson is a foreign agent and try to get him arrested by the, you know, DOJ, just totally baselessly, they're spying on him. It's like the reality is treason is punishable by death. And all of these people are treasonous. Everybody who's a Zionist in the federal government has committed treason.
Dual loyalty is illegal.
It's really not complicated. And they get it because if it's Qatar, then they understand just what a big deal it is to have, you know, foreign agents manipulating your foreign policy. It's the same thing with Zionists. We just, anybody being shown to serve Israel in the American government needs to be tried for treason.
We got a little bit of time in this segment. Do you want to play the Greenblatt clip? You saw that I reposted that, right? I sent it to you, and I saw you cover it on the show today. I mean, this guy's an open foreign agent. This guy's calling for the creation of a Unit 8300. Unit 8200 is the IDF's, like, PSYOP, tactical warfare unit, the people that do things online. This is an American. I assume he's a dual citizen. I'm assuming speculation. Everything I say here is speculation. It's not a proof claim. This is all opinion protected under the First Amendment. But we'll go ahead and find the video if we can. This guy's calling for a foreign military operation on American citizens to regulate and surveil and control what they do online.
Literally. Hold on. Say that again. This man is a foreigner who is a American citizen who is calling on a foreign government to wage war on America.
Absolutely. Psychological warfare, cyber warfare on American citizens not protected by the Constitution. We throw that out the window. You live under Bibi's rule. So do we accept that as a country? Do we accept that as a nation? And if you don't believe me, I mean, the clip is everywhere. I'll repost it again after the show. They openly call for our enslavement. Okay, this is not a joke. And here's the thing. We as conservatives nominally, or whatever we want to call ourselves now, we as MAGA nominally, or whatever we call ourselves now, we'll just call ourselves America First Constitutional Conservatives, okay?
Yep.
We are supposed to live and die by that document. And we've seen with the Trump administration, Constitution means absolutely nothing. He can declare war when he wants. He can censor Americans when he wants. He can defame people when he wants because he's the president and he's our ruler.
Which is why it's important to stick to your principles, which is why, like, even though it was Trump doing it, I was against what was going on in Venezuela, because it's like, no, we cannot set the precedent that Donald Trump is allowed to say, well, cocaine being trafficked is technically possibly killing people, so therefore it's an imminent threat and, well, I get to declare war. It's
look,
like, no.
Look how they use that whole scenario to set him up. They go, we can do this operation in Venezuela and get Maduro, sir. We can do it. And they had the people in the government waiting to turn him in. They had the air defenses turned off. It was a CIA operation. Okay, like, it was more CIA operation than a military operation. Let's just be honest. They openly bragged about having multiple people there that mapped the house for them so that they could go in.
Yeah. Well, they had a $50 million
bounty. And they didn't pay the people out afterwards, by the way, which is an interesting tidbit. But my point being with that was set up to make Trump feel comfortable with a foreign conflict. And I consider it to be an act of war to take someone else's president illegally. But you can debate whether that's a war or a targeted military thing or whatever, because he was out of there in under 60 days. When this conflict popped off, Harrison, when this Iran war started, everyone was telling me War Powers Act, War Powers Act, 1973, under 60 days, he can do whatever he wants. Those people are real quiet now because it's probably not going to end in 60 days. And they know it. They know it. You're out there. You're aware of what you've been pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, I know we had the Jonathan Greenblatt clip in the Alex Jones.
Sorry to throw that at you. Today.
No, I didn't pull it in. That's a different one, and we can go to that. You know, we'll go to that one now, but we'll pull in the other one that you're talking about. I don't know. This is a different one that's also been going viral, but this is just in service of what you were saying about Jonathan Greenblatt. And in the video that we show, I'm not sure if because, you know, I used that video in the Eighth Front, and I watched that whole press conference that Jonathan Greenblatt gave. He was in the Knesset, and he just kept using the word we. He just kept saying we. He literally considers himself an Israeli. Sometimes when he's in America, he'll say we and then correct himself and go, I mean, Israel, not.
Right.
In Israel, he's just like, yeah, we need to do this. We need to do this. We are famous for this and we are going to do this. So the whole thing, he considers himself an Israeli. This clip number two just is, you know, reemphasizing that. Let's watch.
So I think that the Jewish state of Israel has a degree of responsibility for Jews around the world and has to realize that the policy decisions in Israel have practical implications. And then we, as Jews, need to realize we have a commitment to Eretz Israel. We have a commitment to Medinat Israel. We, as Jews in diaspora, need to realize that the comfort that we enjoy, the privilege we enjoy, the acceptance and equality that we enjoy, in part, is because of the state of Israel. I firmly believe that our success is related to our sovereignty. And I will tell you something else. Why do they hate us? Those countries, the names I just mentioned a few minutes ago, it's because of our sovereignty. They cannot tolerate the idea of Jews as equals. We are fine as long as we know our place. But those days are over. We do not need to be second-class citizens ever again. If you will, never again. So I think we as Jews need to recognize that our actions have consequences, our words have resonance, and we need to reaffirm our relationship to the state of Israel. And the only way we win, the only way we defeat the scourge, I think there are just three things. Number one, again, identity. Going on offense means preserving and reaffirming our Jewish identity. And you cannot take the Zion out of Jewish identity. This is one of the things that our enemies tell us. You know, there's this new idea, this ridiculous idea, diasporic Judaism. Diaspora is a condition. It's not an aspiration. Right? There's a reason why every siddur in every shul on the planet Earth, on every page, says something about Yerushalayim or Yisrael or Zion. Because you cannot take the Zionism out of Judaism. That is, Zionism didn't start with Theodore Herzl. Zionism started not with Bibi. It started with Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't start in 1948. It started thousands of years ago.
All right. So there's Bela Lugosi talking about how...
But he admits what's really going on. He admits what's really going on. He brings up Theodore Herzl and Bibi Netanyahu, and he goes, no, but it's not that. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's who we are. It's who we are. What he's done is he's managed, and a lot of people like it, they managed to make that political ideology of radical Zionism, which is Zionism in general, call it what it is, he's paired that directly with the Jewish identity. So now, if you're against this stuff online, well, you're by default, you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Even though that's not true, even though that's a false dichotomy that he set up, right? But the average person, they don't understand that.
Right. And again, in the Eighth Front, like I deliberately about four or five times have them repeat because every single person I watched in the preparation for that video, they all wanted to insist that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. That's like a key component of their entire operation.
It's a circular argument and it lets them win.
Yeah. And it's the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism.
That's right. And oh, they're trying to get us to adopt that over here, aren't they? They want it to be a crime. They want you to go to jail if you're, you know, anti-Israel or, you know, you're allowed to be anti-Jewish or whatever. This is a free country.
Well, and that's exactly the thing is that people get off the track and they start like crying about, like the fact that it's Jews doing it. It's like, it's the First Amendment. No religion gets to do this.
That's
no
right.
Religion gets to assert supremacy over the rest of us. No religion should have an office in the federal government to push their religion's ideas on the rest of us. That is a violation of the first. It's like our founding fathers gave us the key to defeat all of this. We just have to actually apply it. We have to actually get rid of the foreign, you know, organizations like the ADL that are infesting our government. It's not because they're Jewish. Fine, if that's why you want to oppose it, but it's like principally and fundamentally, we should not be allowing this stuff. And it doesn't matter who they are. They're breaking the law and they're violating our fundamental values as Americans.
Another little fun tidbit, another little fun fact from Rex Jones's brain bank. Did you know the ACLU defended the KKK's right to march through a town of Holocaust survivors?
That was a long time ago, Rex.
How far our civil rights in this nation have fallen. And here's the thing. I don't agree with the KKK. I think that that's disgusting and I'm vehemently against it. They have the right to do it because this is a free country. Okay, we don't submit or serve anybody but God.
Amen. And then there's the lie that he says that the acceptance that we Jews enjoy is only because Israel exists and everybody's scared of us. It's like, I don't know, man. Actually, America loved Jews until like 2 years ago when y'all started murdering Palestinians. You ever thought about that?
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts. Now, iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now, here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect. But it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is the War Room. The left are fundamentally unserious people. I'm so confused at why we can't bridge this gap. I can't remember who I was talking to about the, and we had another guest on the show, because at the time it was was Leonardo Joni. I was talking about it during the break. Spain is like this rare European nation that is very outspokenly anti-Israel. They will not help Israel. They won't sell Israel weapons. And of course, there's a big conspiracy about how the fact that the minute Spain turned on Israel, suddenly their trains started blowing up. That was an interesting coincidence. But then at the same time, the government of Spain that is so powerfully and you know, to me, respectably standing up against Israel, just gave 500,000 Africans Spanish citizenship and is just like, I mean, censorship, surveillance. I mean, they are just destroying. I think since Pedro, whatever, the new leader of Spain, since he got into office, rapes have gone up 300%, right? So it's like, why can we not just have both? Why? What is wrong with us that we can't like both oppose Israel and also not commit national suicide? It's like they have set up this dichotomy where either you support the nationalistic government, which is really just 100% dedicated to Israel and Israel and Israel, and they'll just screw your country over for the sake of Israel every time, or you have to go over to the leftists who are just brain dead idiots that hate themselves and hate you and are trying to systematically destroy everything good in the world. It's like, how are these the two options we've been left with?
Right? Well, what it is it's a true double-edged sword, right? So let me explain this to people in the audience. So you have one side of that sword, and that side is identity politics. That side is anti-colonialism. They view all Western countries, especially America, as being, you know, colonial projects that at their very core, at their very nature, are fundamentally flawed and must be overturned, and must make something better where, you know, it's a rainbow world for everyone. Now, that's the negative, right? And we have a hard time with that. It's hard to get through to these people. It's hard to talk to them. Like, hey, like, you know, the founding fathers actually put together something pretty cool. And like, we want to keep that here and want to maintain the demographics and culture of the country. They'll break with you there. But where that mindset does allow them to have a little bit of insight, being anti-colonial, anti-genocide, ultimately, the things that happened in America happened 100, 200 years ago. It's actively happening in Israel right now, in Gaza, in Palestine, on top of the Palestinian people's heads. So you have this entire generation of people, multiple generations, really, that are raised on this anti-colonialism, this identity politics project, and you're telling them the whole time that there are evil people, evil classes that oppress and abuse the minorities of the world. Where's a better example for that than Israel, Gaza?
Right.
So that's where the mindset comes in, where they're seeing the light on this issue because they've kind of been trained to see the light on this issue. And it shows that really the evil and the incompetence and just the lack of care from the elites are like, yeah, well, we program these people this way. It's going to make them rise up and try to overthrow us because they recognize that behavior that we're actually doing over here. We're lying about America doing, right? And that's the key disconnect. I just put it in good words right there. Like, we're going to be able to make this work somehow. Spoiler alert, you aren't going to. On the right, the double-edged sword is, I don't need nobody to take care of me. I'm strong. I work for what I got. I pay my horrible health care bill. I let the government tax me because I'm a man, son. It's man's world. Now, the other side of that is, hey, like, why am I giving money to this foreign country that has no interest in me, that hates me, that controls my government, that commits genocide? So you see where those two blades, you see where they meet. Right. You see where that energy aligns, where you have the anti-colonialist, anti-genocide, and then you have the anti-strongman, anti-authoritarianism on the right. And that comes together and that's creating that popular movement. We're going to figure out how to resolve the other side of that issue. And I think it's a simple conversation. I think it comes with some compromise, some concession, mostly on their part. But hey, we don't have the right to genocide people, even though we did it to the Native Americans. That's not cool. Spoiler alert. But we're living here in 2026. We're going to stop it now going forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, what I always say is that the left is right about Israel for the same reason it's wrong about everything else, right? They just, everything to them just falls into like simple categories, white people bad, non-white people good. When you apply that, you know, filter to the Israel conflict, you happen to arrive at the same conclusion I am, which is Israel is the bad guys. But for them, it's like, because Israel's white and the Palestinians are brown. That's mine is more of a nationalistic argument. But again, I just don't understand how they can't like just think two steps further. Like they get that Israel's bad. Do they take that as a, do they realize that America has also been infiltrated, that like the vast majority of Republicans don't what's going on.
The migration project. Like, do you understand the reason why you have all these Afghans and people like that in the UK that weren't there, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, right, by default, because they were in their home country? Well, their home country got destroyed by the West at the behest to Israel. So, of course, you're going to have the mass migration. And what is the goal of the mass migration? It's to have the permanent underclass that isn't used to the rights in a Western society. And, hey, you know, eight people living in a studio apartment, that's a hell of a lot better than getting bombed every day.
Yeah.
You know, driving for Uber Eats, you know, for 21 hours a day, that's a lot better than, you know, watching your son in rubble.
Yeah.
You know, picking him up out of there. It's like, it's just,
so you're willing to put up with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the system that they build around us. Really what it is, it's a hatred of white culture. These people have a serious hatred of white culture, and they say that white people have no culture. Well, it's kind of like a fish in water. It's like ubiquitous.
Well, right? And it's also not true, because they think that they're the champions of all the stuff that white people invented. I mean, they think they're on the side of free speech. They think they're on the side, like, obviously they are complete hypocrites, because they, you know, I'm for free speech, just not hate speech, right?
Right.
That type of stuff. You know, they don't actually believe what they say, but they think that they, like, are the freedom loving ones and the liberal ones. They think that they're the champions of what they would themselves consider, like, white supremacy. That's the thing, is that it doesn't make any sense. Like,
well, the thing that we can partner with people like this, is we can at least agree that hurting kids is wrong, and these wars are wrong, and genocide is wrong. And if we're able to get all the politicians out of our government that support those things based on that very basic coalition we have, we can actually have free and fair elections and debates, and the best ideas can win. We're not in a situation right now where that's permissible or allowed.
Yeah. I just don't, you know, I keep having conversations with people where they're like, you got to stop pushing the left-right divide. And it's like, okay, so you guys are going to stop trying to teach my kid to be trans? And they're like, wow, so you think all trans people should die? And it's like, all right, you know, what are we supposed to do here? Like, okay, we both agree on, like, I had a tweet about this, you know, a little conversation that's like, I hate Israel. Wow, I hate Israel too. What else do you believe? All white men are evil, and trans kids are the most important thing in the world. And this, and it's like, all right, never mind then. You know, I thought we could agree on something. We agree, I guess, on Israel, but, like, everything else you believe is utterly retarded. So, like, what the hell?
It's really going to lead to the balkanization of America. And, I mean, we already see this, right? Like, different states have always had different identities, and different people have always, you know, had arguments or disagreements with each other. But, you know, it's like, red or blue, what do you bang? Like, what, like, are you gangbanger? Are you Democrat? Are you Republican? Like, that's the psychosis that people operate in. And what I want to do is, everyone can have political beliefs, ideologies, opinions. Let's stop subscribing to the two-party system and operating in that, please. I think that would create a lot of freedom for us if we could do that. If we could realize that, like, hey, like, we'll have a debate on the merit of our ideas, not the merit of, you know, the sports team that we support.
Nationalism has to be the answer, because it's not impossible. Like, I feel like we've been indoctrinated into the idea that it is impossible for this to happen, but when Benjamin Netanyahu comes to America, both sides of the aisle stand up and check clear for him.
Oh, I make this point. I made this point on the street with people. Like, they make a big show always, and that's just what politics is. It's total theater. None of it's real. They're all middle management. They make such a show of the Democrats will stand up for Biden and the Republicans will sit down, and vice versa. When Trump is up there, the Republicans stand, the Democrats sit. There's only one issue on the entire political platform. Abortions don't matter, guns don't matter, wars don't matter, economy doesn't matter. What matters? Israel. And the prime minister of Israel and our real president, our president for like 25 years, Bibi Netanyahu, because when he comes in, when he rolls on in, like, MIGAs roll deep, M-I-G-A again, but they roll deep. When he comes in with the security escort and the fanfare and the trumpets, both sides clap like seals.
Yeah, and it's like, is it really so impossible to imagine an America where both parties at least have basic, like, respect and admiration for the president of the United States? It happens with Israel. They all have respect and admiration and consideration for the president of Israel, but they can't possibly, we could never elect somebody to the American presidency that would have the full-fledged support of both sides of the aisle, because you would think if there'd be one thing we could unify on, so we're all Americans. So, like, we should all be in favor of America, and we should all say, hey, we're all going for America. And hey, when he talks about abortion, I'm not standing up, but he's the American president, damn it. And when he talks about America doing well, I'm going to stand up. We cannot do that if the left is dead set that America is evil, and they literally chant death to, I mean, you want to talk about chanting death to America. If chanting death to America was enough for us to bomb the leadership of Iran to death, have you heard the leftist ever? I mean, literally, there was a Rashida Tlaib event where they were chanting death to America. So, like, how are we supposed to come together with people who literally want our country to go down?
Right. But I mean, how did we get here? Like, how do we get to the point where people are chanting that? Well, things were so bad domestically and we fought all these wars. People are dumb. They're ignorant. They're propagandized, but they know that something is wrong. So they lash out.
True.
And instead of creating a system for educating these people, teaching what America is really about, creating something positive that, hey, you know, like if something went well with Trump, if the Trump administration was great, we'd all be sitting here like drinking champagne. And we'd be convincing people to accept it because he would have done what he ran on, right? But you see these people lash out. Ultimately, our leaders have really defamed us, and they've defamed us not just to foreign countries and populations. They've defamed us to each other. Yeah, everyone's so wrapped up in all of this, and it's just it makes me really sad.
Well, and it's why democracy is evil, right? Because
Athens is a great example of that. Oh, the most liberal and awesome collapses, of course.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, when they were trying to, when the rabble rousers were trying to get Greece into war with Persia, the king of Sparta said no, but the crowd of Athens was swayed. So like, it's weird, but it's often easier to sway a crowd than it is to sway a single person who's responsible for everybody. Yeah. Very, you know, important lesson. But, you know, there was, I thought I maybe had it, today. There was a tweet that went out that was just sort of the latest poll numbers of who in Europe thinks that their country takes too many refugees, too many migrants. And it's like 90% of Greece says too many migrants. I mean, there wasn't a number below 70, right? Every country in Europe. Yeah. Rashida Tlaib refuses to condemn death to America chants. Yeah. Bomb her. All right. If we're going to bomb the
politically,
Ayatollah. Well, I don't know. We're bombing the Ayatollah because they scream death to America. I'm just trying to keep the American government consistent. If that's the line you have to cross, but no, it's all arbitrary and ridiculous is the point I'm making. So yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know how we can come together on the left.
Liberal.
This is a great example. Let's go to clip number 12 here. This is a guy named Graham Platner. I think he's running for something. But you'll listen, you'll agree with like the first half of what he says, but he's a leftist, he's a liberal, he's a socialist. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So I really like, we're so close. They are so close. Like that's the thing. It's not that like we need to come together. It's that like they are close, but they're wrong and they need to be educated, I guess. I don't have much hope. Let's go to clip 12 here. Here's a guy who's like, he almost gets it. He almost understands what's happening. But in fact, he's doing the opposite of what he should. Let's go to clip 12.
I just have no patience for getting dragged in to, frankly, culture war issues that are being invented by the people that don't want us talking about raising their taxes. That's why it exists. And every single breath we take just discussing culture war stuff that quite frankly has very little material reality for any of us. Every breath we take on that is a breath that we are not talking about universal health care. It is a breath we are not talking about going after wealth where it's been hoarded, not talking about breaking up corporate monopoly power in this country. That's what we need to be focusing on. But we do not sell people out. I refuse to accept that that is necessary in politics. A politics that is willing to sell anyone out will eventually sell everyone out.
All right. That doesn't mean anything, but it's what he's saying is I'm not willing to sell anybody out. What he means is I'm not willing to abandon the culture war fights that we started. Really what he's saying is I'm not willing to abandon the trans people that we have created and shoved down everybody's throat. So he's just full of crap. Like he's like, oh, these culture war things, these are distractions. But it's like, okay, so will you drop it? No. So shut up. Like, what's he talking about?
Here's the approach. You go, sir, I know you're a leftist, a liberal. I voted for Trump. That was a mistake. I was lied to. You have also been mistaken. You've also been lied to. We are both victims of this political system. We need to examine each other's positions and check for logical consistency. What do you believe in? And then you have that conversation. And in the spirit of doing that, and I'm really into this now, doing the Man on the Street, really want to do these types of interviews with people with opposing or traditionally opposing viewpoints. I really think we agree with more than we disagree on. Not in a clip farming way, not in a jubilee way, not to go viral, not to get clicks, but to have a real honest conversation where we're both willing to have like our stacks, our evidence, our research, and be like, this is my position on this. What do you agree on? What do you disagree on? And then you have that 3-hour discussion. I think that's what the country needs. It's called the Socratic discussion.
Yeah, I just, you know,
I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but we like, hey, that guy's closer to you than Bibi Netanyahu's closer to you, right?
Well, yeah, of course. And yeah, you know, like I agree with him about like breaking up monopolies and stuff like that. And the thing is, he's right about what he's saying. He just has an inverted interpretation of it. The fact is that Occupy Wall Street led directly to the rise of identity politics. And people have charted it. There have been like studies on this. Literally, Occupy Wall Street started, and like right then,
headlines of racism go like that.
100%. So it's like, okay, the left created all of this cultural conflict, but like they don't think that's true. They're so lost in their delusion. They think that like trans people have always existed, and the problem only started when conservatives started hating them and attacking them. It's like what they believe about ICE in Minnesota, where it's like, the problem is that ICE is here, you know, trying to arrest migrants. It's like, no, ICE was always arresting migrants forever. For the last four decades or however long they've existed, they've done the same thing. The only difference is the left is now rioting and trying to stop them and blowing whistles. And it's their actions that are the instigations. They are the instigators every time, but they don't see that. So they literally think that like the trans issue, the whatever, you know, culture war issues, they think that they just like arose from the right wing randomly deciding one day to hate trans people. It's like all of this stuff was deliberately created by the elite to distract you, to get you to tear down your fellow Americans and to stop going after them. You're the ones falling for this. We're trying to defend our country from the thing you're falling for, right? I mean, do you see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going with it. Here's the thing, man. I'm just grateful for the peace president. He's the most peaceful man to have ever peaced before in the entire history of peace. I'm just grateful for the peace president, dog, because like all these issues we disagree with each other on, all these problems, they can all be solved when we meditate and thank, you know, not even thank God. We thank the real God. This is a joke. Donald Trump. Like the peace president, the number one leader, Mark Levin's best friend, Lindsey Graham's golfing buddy. Like that's what I support. So someone comes up to me and says, what do you think about trans issues? Someone comes up to me, they say, what do you think about free speech? What do you think about healthcare? I go, what do you think about the peace president, the greatest president to ever president before in the history of presidency? Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Donald Trump. How could you forget about me? Sorry. Hope that
answers your question. Move aside, Donald Trump. But isn't it funny that like that is the perception that they've always had? Oh, these Trumpers, they just believe whatever Trump is saying. It's literally never been the case. We have all never had any problem being like, Trump is wrong about this. He's doing this wrong. But now there are. I mean, again, it's like, okay, the cat turds out there, the Brendan Dillies, they really are just hook, line, and sinker. They are cult members who will believe anything Trump says. And so it's kind of like, all right, I can't even say the left is wrong about that now. That really does exist.
Well, that's the most painful thing about this. And I guess the point I was trying to make to your point, I think that there is a non-establishment and an establishment wing of both parties, right? And I'm not just talking about the people that are in elected office. Primarily, I'm talking about the voting electorate, like the people of the country. And on both sides, on right and left, there are people that hate the government. I think we can unite on that. And then there's people like, let's throw that up again. Let's get that up again.
Cat turd.
Let's get cat turd back up on the screen. Then there's people like this. This is a man who figured out that by attaching himself to an administration, he could gain fame, notoriety, and really a level of public visibility that a fat old man should never have. So he sits in his home. He sits in his porcelain throne, and he makes Twitter AdSense and Twitter money off of promoting war, promoting genocide, and really backing up the lies of like a Kim Jong-un level administration. So I just want to say thank you to Cat Turd. Salute to you. You are the real man. You are, you know, the real media. You're God, basically. So thank you, Cat Turd.
It really is pathetic. It really is pathetic. And it's going to be even more pathetic when all of these people are claiming that either they were always against the war the whole time, or I mean, they're just going to try to rewrite history.
After 2028, these people, like they're going to be like a trailer park somewhere. Like,
yeah,
they're going to be like washing dogs in a van.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to pretend that they never said all of the stuff that they're saying right now, and that's a very
maybe people will be dumb enough though. You know, never underestimate the American public.
Never overestimate the American public. Maybe. Yeah, I don't. I mean. That, I guess that's on their own soul to have to, you know, worry about their, dishonesty. I just don't understand how people fall for it, man. It is truly beyond, I mean, it would be one thing if they had any explanation for what this war was about and what we're trying to achieve, but the fact that they are getting away with basically just like saying whatever pops into their mind at the moment, totally inconsistent, totally different from what they said 5 minutes before, And they're just doing it. It's truly insane.
We know what the goal of the war is. It's no mercy. That's what Pete Hegseth said. It's we're going to make it unlivable. They can't rebuild for 10 years. That's the purpose of the war. The purpose of the war is to make Iran a failed state so that Israel is able to take over Syria and Lebanon and other countries in the area and is able to implement the Greater Israel Project. And that's where we sit right now. That's the reality that we live in. And anyone that tells you that that is not the reality and that we are not, in fact, fighting a war to make this all happen for that foreign power, for that foreign state, for that evil country that commits genocide, they're either lying to you, they're massively ignorant, or they have a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's bizarre to see people fall for it like this. It really is. And
I think public's gonna wake up. Dude, I got faith in the public. I believe in the American public. I'm white.
Do you? I'm going the other way, man. What is giving you faith in the American public? I'm the other direction.
I've been black pill. I get it. People oftentimes call me the black pillar. This stuff is cartoon bad and ridiculous. You got Trump calling Levin the great one and saying, I am MAGA. Anyone that criticizes Levin is not MAGA. Levin was a never Trumper. Lindsey Graham ran against you. And these are the people we have up on stage. Like, spoiler alert, Trump, when you go do a rally against Massey and you're bragging that all the people drove 4 or 6 hours away to get to you, that means no one in the home district came. Okay. Yeah. But they believe they're smelling their own farts and they think it smells like roses. And to the American public, they see their hands are full of crap. That's the honest example I can give.
Yeah. This is from Apolitical. I thought, you know, this is pretty much the rundown for what's happened so far. Start war, give 5 different reasons for war, 80% disapproval, immediately blow up a little girl's school, surrendering all moral high ground, kill leadership, which is immediately replaced by more radical leadership, declare victory, have no contingency plan for closing the Straits of Hormuz, have no clear victory conditions, gas prices skyrocket, economy craters, service members killed, taxes wasted, bases blown up, no material gain for the American public, continue to declare victory.
Well, they're mostly peaceful explosions. They're mostly peaceful. Nothing to see here. Just like the summer of love, just like COVID, 2 weeks to stop the spread, 24 to 48 hours to kill the Ayatollah and declare victory and all that. It's all, no one's buying it anymore. Okay. And us sitting here telling you the truth, we're going to be vindicated. Right. And like anyone that wants to do this right now, there's free credibility on the table for you if you come out against this. Just telling you how it is. Like, that's 20 years from now. People are going to ask you what your position on the Iran war was. And if you're a Gunther Eagleman, you're going to be working at Subway. OK, so just think about that. Can we show Shroom Force one more time?
Yeah. Yeah. Shroom Force. And I should probably tell people, by the way, we have a big sale going on. And if you want to keep in touch with us and get a free bottle of methylene blue tincture, you can text InfoWars, all one word, to 342581.
So nice.
Text InfoWars, all one word, InfoWars, no spaces, to 342581. That's 342581. Text the word InfoWars and you get a free bottle of methylene blue tincture with the purchase of any product at thealexjonesstore.com, including the new iodine relaunch T3, incredibly powerful. Tell us about Shroom Force.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you about InfoWars Life product first. Let me tell you about Power Plant. If you're going to take methylene blue, you want to be taking Power Plant. Power Plant contains golden root, which was the foundational adaptogen the Soviets studied for their athletes. Okay. And the studies are all online. They're crazy. Also contains cordyceps mushroom. Basically, this has an elite performance stack for anyone that wants to try something traditionally like a super male vitality, traditionally like any sort of testosterone supplement, but it doesn't work directly in the way that they normally do. Instead of giving you this signal that eventually shuts you down, what this does is it allows your body to make more of what you naturally would make already, and the boron in it acutely will raise your free testosterone. Two powerful adaptogenic herbs and mushrooms, powerful mineral complex, powerful boron complex in here as well. You're going to want to get Power Plant from the AlexJonesStore.com. That being said, the same ingredient that's in here, can we get Shroom Force punched up really quick? Can we get it?
Shroomforce.com.
Please go there and check it out. If you're interested in functional mushrooms, functional adaptogens, all the top products, you see that golden root right there. That's the same thing inside of Power Plant. So if you're interested in that, if you had great results from that product, if you want to take more of that stacked on top of your Power Plant, higher doses are better. Check out Shroomforce.com. 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 I'm sorry, Harrison. I'm so sorry.
Shroomforce.com.
Shroomforce.
I love it. And thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let know who sent you, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.